care about sight. We were up to Sif Yud. Yisrael Shemos and Kesef Leumain Ovid Leuman Ovid Kocham Lasos Leumain Pli Ein Otsarif Tvila. Okay, this is a famous machlokes Rishonim. Apparently, it's a common thing in the old days. You would buy precious metal. You would have a Deutsch worker, artisan make a cleat for you. So it's a machlokes between Tosfos and the Rush versus the main day Tosfos and the Rush versus the Ritzva. Tosfos and the Rush says that you are potter. And that's how we pass in your Mashu Mordechai. It's a maskana of the Mordechai, you're potter. Why are you potter after all? Maybe Uman is Kona Mishvach Kli, right? This is Machlokes, where Choshe is Uman Kona Mishvach Kli, so maybe he has a Kenyan. The guy has a Kenyan in the Kli because he built it. And therefore, when you buy from him, you're buying out his Kenyan in the Kli. So it's also the Rosh saying, no, there's a unique gather here when you call this two Tfilas Kenyan called Shmolov. Nikra Shmolov, whose name is called on it. It's okay. Somehow this comes from the idea that the Gemara says, "Kemaisa shahaya." You're only chayim kilos kelim. It's like the case of the Klei Minyan. In the case of the Klei Minyan, which was booby in the war that the Jews won their war against Minyan, it was obviously it was called the Goyes. So likewise here, even if the Goy might have a little bit of a kinyan because Uman is kona b'shvach kli, nonetheless, since it's not called the Goyes, his name is the Elonik or Shmolov. Therefore, you are a potter from Tfilas Kelim. That's the opinion of Tosfos and the Rush, which the Mechaber passed like. However, there's another opinion. It says, Rabbi Yesh Cholkin, Tzorvitz B'Shem Ritzva. What does it mean, the Ritzva Yesh Cholkin? So all the Achronim of the Daf here are reject the Bach. The Bach says the Ritzva only meant to be Machmir when the guy supplied some silver. Okay, then it's not such a big fish. But we assume not like the Bach. We assume the Ritzva was Machmir. Like sounds like Nora, even if the silver is entirely the Jews. So the simple shot is here we have the Kesef in Shal Yisrael and the Goy. The Goy, the Asiyas a Goy. Right? Kesef Shal Yisrael, the Asiyas a Goy. So here we have Tosos and the Rush and the Mordechai Saint Potter. Well, the Ritzba says Chayav, like all the Achronim here, right? Even if the metal was 100% the Jews, the Ritzba is still Chayav. Why is the Ritzba Mechayav? Because, what's the Svara? Svara is Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. Now the guy is a Kenyan, and you're buying out his Kenyan. Okay, it's actually a Machlokes, whether we paskin Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli or not. Okay, but perhaps we paskin Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. And why do the other Rishonim Mechaber not worry with Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli? So the simple shot is, shame, Hagoya love. Even if the Uman is Kona B'Shvach Kli, it's not called his. It's not looked at as his, therefore it's not like the case in the Torah, where it's Mamish considered to be the guys, and you are Potter. How do we Paskin? So the Mechaber Paskins for Sephardim. Like Tosfos said, you're totally potter, but the Ramah concludes that it is a suffix. So the Ramah paskins that is a suffix, and therefore Makom suffix is totally without a bracha, and that's how we paskin. I don't know how often this happens anymore, but that's how we paskin. Okay, the whole discussion here in the Pesach Chuvah is about your base, putting the Chachmas Adam. So what about a Jewish factory? The Jew has a factory and there are Goyish workers. So the Jewish factory, all the material is the Jews, like this case, but there are Goyish workers in the factory. So the Chochmas Adam says here that if a Jew has a glassware factory, then since it's Derabbanan, there's room to be Mako, because they suffix Derabbanan, but it sounds like if we metal, then you would have to be Machmir. However, the Aruch HaShulchan and later Achronim or modern day Poskim reject this Chachmas Adam, or at least they say they either reject it or the Chachmas says it doesn't really mean it. It sounds like he means And they point out that this case of a Jew who owns a factory is not actually comparable to the case that Rambam was discussing here. Why? What's the difference between a Jew who owns a factory and has goyish workers versus the Jew who gives metal to a goyish artisan to make something for him?
It's like direct revenue versus one of the better. Like, it's only making the money once you sold all of that.
Okay, but it doesn't matter, sold the goyish work.
I don't understand the case. Why would a factory not have to pull it? It's just selling.
No, I bet a Jew buys them from it.
Because it's his factory. Workers are getting paid.
Exactly. Meaning, Oman Kona Mishvach Kli, the Akron of Right, and yet it's a team of Chachmasot. The Telkas Miyam wants to say, the Chachmasot didn't really mean it, because no one could have meant this. But Oman Kona Mishvach Kli is only what we call an independent contractor, right, in modern day tax law. A kavlan, someone who works for himself is kona b'shvach kli. But a salaried worker, why did the salaried worker be kona b'shvach kli? I pay him by the hour, and his work belongs to me. A salaried worker is kona b'shvach kli. Only a self-employed businessman who charges a certain set fee is kona b'shvach kli. And therefore. We reject this Chachmas Adam, or Chachmas says he never even meant it. We reject this Chachmas Adam. We look at the Orach HaShulchan here, Sif Katan. I didn't write down, but the Orach HaShulchan here, and you look at the Chachmas Adam and the Modern Day Sfarim, all say that this is only focused by a self-employed independent contractor, but if it's a salaried worker, what we call a Sfir Yom, then there's for sure no Kodim Shvach Kli, and it's totally the Jews. And this is, whether glass or metal, it's not even a suffix, but Vadai, your putter, if a Jew owns a factory, and let's go, your workers. Again, assuming that you buy from the Jewish factory, obviously, the Jew owns the factory, then he sells it to a Goyish store, and then a Jew buys it from the store, he's chayav to buy from the Goyish store. But assuming it was in the hands of Jews the whole time, then, so let's say you have a factory in Israel, but I don't think there actually are factories in Israel where they make any place Suda, just because of the existence of China.
Sultan is right there. Ad is Sur Israeli.
Really? Okay, Sultan factory in Israel. Let's say it's a Jewish-owned factory, which I have no idea, but let's assume it's a Jewish-owned factory. For the sake of argument, it's a Jewish-owned factory in Israel, and they make it in the Sultan factory, then they sell it to a Jewish distributor, or sells it to a Jewish store, or sells it to you. Then you are Pater from Fila, even if the workers might be Goyim, because they're not Kavlamim, they're not an Uman, they're just a Sur Yom. That's how sometimes, if I understand correctly, you buy things, almost everything's made in China. Okay, Leon pointed out one exception, but pretty much everything's made in China. Even, I got good idea in terms of Kilos Kalim, even the, like, you go to these showrooms of the Jewish artist, I'm not going to start mentioning names because maybe they don't want me to, but you know, they have, like, in Yerushalayim in every place, the artist who makes, like, Judaica things, Kiddush cups or whatever, and you go and you can buy things from the store, the artist, like, designed the pattern on it, but he didn't actually make it in the factory, like in the back of the store. He ordered, designed a pattern and ordered 100 of them from China, and they're all made in China, they're all chayiv in tefila. However, sometimes you get things that are made in China that come with a little hechsher that says it's pater from tefila. I think nowadays you buy a lot of things like urns and things like that. It comes with a little petzet that is a hechsher from the rabbi in China or the rabbi here that is pater from tefila. How do they get the things from China to be Pater and Tefila? If I understand correctly, what they do is the Hashkacha goes to the factory owner in China and says, I know usually the way you work is you produce something and then sell it to the customer, but I want to work a little differently, and they drop a contract that actually I'm buying all the raw material from you beforehand, before you manufacture anything, and I'm buying the right to hire the workers, and I will hire the workers, will work for me instead of for you, therefore it's Jewish material and Jewish workers, and it's pater from tefila. Okay, obviously it's a bit of a trick, but so is, you know, Heter Iska and Mechir's Chametz and everything else that we do, and Lamaisa, generally, what do they do this for? They don't do this for pots and pans, that you can just go to the mikveh and total yourself, and what's the big deal? They do this for electric things, things that are complicated to total, etc. So it's, we rely on that, certainly. But I wouldn't say we should, like, change the whole world and make contracts with everyone in China so no one has to hold their forks and knives and spoons anymore. No, like, it's okay. It's okay to still have to do a little work even in the 21st century. But things like electric equipment that are, even though I claim that you can do it safely 99% of the time, it's still, it's complicated and it's tricky. So it's a good idea someone came up with to have this cool, let's do a trick to make it a Jewish material and Jewish workers. Okay, but that's all based on the fact that we don't poskim like this Chachmas Adam in this Ketubiyah base. Let's go to some of the other weird cases here. It says the Ramah, if it's a goyish worker and some of the metal is from the goy and some is from the Jew. Okay, it's not exactly clear what the scenario is here, but I don't understand. No, you're making something from scratch and the goy provides some of the metal. Then the Rama says tzarech tefila. Meaning, tzarech tefila v'bracha. That's how it's different than the previous line. The guy has two factors. What are these two factors? So, if you just twist the scenario a little, what about the kesef is the Jews, but mitzas kesef is the guy, and the guy manufactures it. Then the Ramah says you need tefillah, seemingly with the bracha, otherwise it would be the same as the previous case. The Taz disagrees, and the Taz says, who cares that the guy gave a little metal? Maybe the guy's metal did not play an important role in it. Like maybe the guy's metal just went someplace which was not necessary for the hikar function of the kli, or maybe the guy's metal was bought to the grove. And therefore he thinks that the guy's mitzvah material makes no difference, so you're back to the Jew's material and the goy's work, and you're back to a suffix. So here says the Taz. He says, so suffix, yadapil kini bracha, because he does not think we give any significance to the partial metal provided by the goy. However, the Ramah clearly disagrees. The Shach and the Gra and the Poskim all disagree and say, yadapil bibracha, that it is Vadei Chayev, we paskin. I don't know when this will ever happen. Nowadays, when you buy those things ready in stores, but that's how we paskin. What is the logic? So, I mean, the Shach just says very pithily, Tzarech Tefila u'mibracha. But the logic seems to be two things. Number one, maybe the goat chips in a little bit metal, maybe Shmolov. Or even better, the other one to point out, if the gun chips in a little of metal, don't start saying maybe his metal is bottle of a robe. Bottle of a robe is for Isra Hatter. We're talking about Dini Mamadis. If I make something out of partially my metal or partially your metal, who does it belong to? What? Both of us, right? Like, I own part of the actual material of this. So, the guy clearly has a shufus here. Whether or not Uman is the guy has a shufus. Lachor, this is the kind of shufus that's called shmolav. He actually owns part of it. It doesn't really matter, like, whose metal is robe, or whose metal is on top, whose metal is on the bottom, whose metal is necessary, whose metal is unnecessary. It's just we chip it together for this, so it's like buying the shufus and going. So we say that is Vadei Chayev, and we don't worry about, we ignore the Taz. Yeah.
Just a question about the...
This is like a regular shufus. Yeah.
In terms of the if someone's producing the rather than owning it and using it in the house, but they're producing it, so why is that it's associated with their
collection? It's theirs.
But
they're clean, they own it.
But it's not a food thing to them.
Ah, so you're suggesting maybe you could say anyone who makes something in the factory, for them it's not a klisuda, it's a klisora, people wash it really. Last time's visit to Yuba. For them, it's not a tisuda, it's a place Torah. And therefore, it never really had the Tomas Goy, whatever you call it. That's an interesting Svara. Lemaisa, the postgame, don't say that Svara. And, you know, I never see anyone who explicitly says don't say the Svara, but they also assume that you don't say the Svara. They say as long as the Goy made the Kli, even if he wasn't using it for Suda, it still has the Tomas Goy. I don't know if I have a, you know, if I can put a finger on a concrete reason why not.
So you said super frequency instead of this puffer.
No. Let me just review for a second. Don't forget this. Something that currently belongs to the shutfut of a goy and a Jew is puffer. But when the Jew buys it for the shutfut of a goy and a Jew, it becomes chayef. Very important to remember that. Yes. But what?
I was one of the shutfut.
Doesn't matter. I still bought out the goy. When you buy out the goy, you're chayef. Correct. Shutfut might as well be the goy's. When you buy out your shutfut goy, it's like you bought it from the goy. Okay. Continuing. How about the opposite case? It's the goyish metal and the Jewish worker. And then what happens? The Jewish worker makes it for the goy, but before he actually hands it over to the goy, he says, you know what, I like my work so much, can I just buy it from you? Which probably is not the usual thing that happens, but it could happen. So it's just the exact opposite case. So he says also, Yishtovel, says the Rama, Yishtovel, without a bracha. So here we have the kesef. It doesn't have to be kesef, of course, of the goy and the asiyas Israel. So says the Rama. Yad bil li bracha, meaning, and then that you bought it. Here, this is a bit of a chiddush, this Rama, because what would you think? The goy owns the metal. So the goy at least owns most of the kli. That's the gra. Is this question in Chaches Tzorich Iyun that the goy owns at least most of the kli? So why wouldn't you say you're total with a bracha? Why does bada chayim tiva? Meaning maybe the goy owns the whole kli and we don't care about the Jew's work, or maybe the Jew owns part of the kli because but he. This kli is either totally goyish or mostly goyish. The Jew buys it, why are you chayav to total it with the bracha? That is a big mystery, which the Gra asks the Kabbalah of Ches, and he doesn't answer. Ah, so l'chura, that's the chelk as Binyamin asks, the Gra, the Chachadosh asks this question. He says, you have to make a big chiddush here. Why not total it with the bracha? After all, it for sure belonged to a guy. So you have to say, even though it belonged to a guy, since the Jew's the one who made it into a kli, it belonged to a goy, it's a not, right? It's just raw material. Since the Jew made it into the kli, then maybe it's considered the Jew's because he owns the sort of kli aspect. He owns the tsuras ha-kli, which is a big, big, big chiddush, right? This chiddush, that there is a suffix tor. Right, that you're told without a bracha, even though the goy definitely owned most of it. Right, it's his metal. He at least owns most of it. Right, if you think about it, if it's silver, the end product's worth $100. He at least owns $60 for his material. You know, if you own $40 worth for your work, so if you buy from him, why you putter? So it's a big chiddush. The Gra doesn't understand. The Chiddush doesn't understand. Chalukas Benyamin answers that maybe there are more things, sort of along the lines of a kol v'lekach ramavit, that the bayin was for this purpose, again, thinks as a chash, not as a badai, that bayin was for the purpose of tefilas kelim is bayin on the kli aspect of it, not on the physicality of it. And therefore, the goy owns the physicality, but the Jew owns the fact that it's a kli, and therefore maybe it's considered a totally Jewish kli because the Jew's the only one who owns the fact that it's a kli. The goy just owns the material.
If the Jews and the goy, this ownership of the kli or ownership of the material could be identified on the kli itself, think, let's say the Jew owns the metal that went into the handle of the mug.
Then you would go by the mountain and what touched the food, etc.
So you wouldn't have to talk about the handle if it was.
Correct. If it's goyo is a handle, I don't think you would care.
That even means he's scarf or something, or not. Your Jew is gold, but when they said.
You mean in this case?
Yeah.
Yes, it would be much easier to say there. because you had a pre-existing concept. Okay, this is a big finish. Why? Because the Jew owned all of the Suras Hakli Shepo. This is my words. That's a very, very big finish. Nonetheless, the post can accept this from Ma, even though it's a big finish. Ah, because whenever something is owned by a shutfus and I buy it, I have to tofel it. So, Bechor, what's the tshuva stadim here? Either it's considered totally Jewish or it's considered a shutfus. So, what would be the tshuva stadim here? It's considered totally goyish or it's considered a shutfus. Well, I'm not a shutfus, it's totally goyish, I have to tofel it. If it's a shutfus, I have to tofel it. That's the gross question. It doesn't answer those words. That's the question. If the suffix is Jewish or shutfus, then if I buy a Jewish kli, I don't have to tofel it. If I buy a shutfus kli, I do. But if the subject is goyish or shavas, I should have to total of yimod of shach. So I should say brach. That's why the Ramah is very machonish. This is not for the Kshon. This is the Ramah quoted the Israel.
Did you own the electronic
parts of the guy owned the metal, but the Jew owned the wires, etc. And then
most of the time, the food only touches the
non. Yeah, so I'm not convinced that we would care who owns the like electrical part. I think we care who owns the thing that holds the food. I think so. Or for emotion, not right. Okay. Last case is also Atzmar Shekar attacks Menos Kachavim. This should be Shmizi, right? Doesn't even want on board. I buy raw materials from a guy and I make it myself. Then for sure I'm potter, because the guy never owned the kli, right? In all these cases were who it belonged to, Shas Asiya, right? But if the Yisrael Farkana Kesef Min Hagoy Kodem Asiya, then you have Asiyas Yisrael, then it's Pashut, then it's Pater. Right? Because who cares who we brought the raw material from? At the time it came a kli, it was 100% Jewish, it was Jewish material and Jewish labor. The last case is Shinasa Mixas Matech Mishalom, Ein Tzarech Tvila. You have Kesef Shalgoy, again, parallel to that. Miktsas Kesef Shal Yisrael and Asiyas Yisrael. Here says the Ramah, unless you emend him, like the Taz did, that you are Potter. And the Shach agrees with the, well, not exactly clear what the case is. This is a Machlokes. Because after all, maybe it partially belongs to the guy. If it partially belongs to the guy, right? Yeah. If after all, the actual main kesef came, main metal belonged to the guy. The guy should have at least a shutfas in it, right? Don't say parallel. In this case, you're passing. Told the bracha, that's to the shutfas. This should also be a shutfas. So this is a big machlokes. This is a big machlokes. The Ramah sounds like pashtus of the Ramah is that it's potter, right? That's clearly pashtus of the Ramah is that you are potter. But it's a little bit finished because it all partially belongs to the guy. So this is a freeway machlokes. Achronim says the Taz. No, what's machlokes? Three days in the Taz Shachir says the Taz that you are chayav. Doesn't the Ramah say butter? He says no. You have to change the wording, Ramah. And move those words. When he says mixa kesef, etc. You have to move those words earlier in the Ramah. So far, and those words belong earlier in the Ramah. Okay, Chayav, and he says the Tal Sofer in the Rama. Chayav. Mipnei she hakli shayach. Well, shutfas. Right? After all, the guy supplied most of the material, and the Jews went some of the material to work. And therefore, you are chayav. Says the Shach in his first day. He also says you're chayav for the same reason. Because the Kli belongs to a Shutfas. Ah, what is the Drama? He says you misunderstood Drama. Drama didn't mean that he bought it. Drama meant, and the Jew never bought out the Goy. He makes no Kinta in the Drama. What's so Kim to the Rama? The Jew never paid the guy for his metal. Oh, if the Jew never paid the guy for his metal, then it still belongs to a Shutfus. As long as it still belongs to a Shutfus, the Jew should borrow it from a Shutfus. When a Jew borrows from a Tzai, he's Potter. But if the Jew would pay the guy to say, now it's mine, he'd be Chayev. The second day in the Shach, he takes the Ramah from Shuto, and he actually says, you're Potter, like the Pshat of the Ramah. The Pshat. And then, as you said, it's a Chiddush and Svar. Okay, but a lot of Chiddush and Svar here. We're like, this Sif has a lot of Gedarim that are sort of made up on the fly. I admit. And then he actually papers to Iker. This is what he himself... this is what he himself agrees with, and he just says it becomes right. Yeah, maybe it's Iker, right? Meaning he thinks that's the real shot. He's Potter. He doesn't totally explain why. He explains why he doesn't think what lies behind that. He says that Kishi Yisrael Asao. Even if you care whose metal belonged to, since here the Jew did the work and the Jew provided some of the metal, that's considered the Jews. Okay, what's the svara? Hey, Shai Yisrael, Nasan Miksas Kesef, Ligam Asa Hakli, Kashiv, Ke Shalo Ligamre. Okay, maybe it's also, it's because you're small, a lot of whoever gave part of the metal and did the work is considered totally his. So that's how do we pasken on this case? Not sure. I don't really have a lot of this.
Isn't this just a little more like the case before? Like, case before we said it was a tradition that since he made it to us, like, that's what I want to do to deal with that rock over here. Now that you own a little bit of it, like, you have to do a little more to that.
Correct. That's clearly what's going on. But again, the problem is these are not pre-existing halacha categories in other areas of halacha. Seems to me that, you know, we're just sort of defining for the purpose of Tfilas Kelim whose we think it is in a comparison to the Maaseh Shaliach, so we'll leave it at that. Let's go to Yidalef there, we'll say. Yisrael, now it gets easy. Yisrael Shemachim Tlilo, come and cause Malach Kami Benu, a Jew who sold the Kli to a guy and bought it back from him, Tzarev Tfila. Very important. If it ever belongs to a guy and you buy back, you need Tfila. It doesn't matter who it belonged to originally. Like, for example, if a Jewish factory with Jewish workers and everything Jewish in Mahajan makes a clean. Good. Or you have one of these kalim that comes with a little hexer that says, doesn't Felix, it was made by Jews. And you buy it from a Goyish store. Now it needs Felix and Bracha 100% because you bought it from a guy. It doesn't matter that once belonged to a Jew. If it belongs to a guy at any point in time, whoever buys it from him needs Felix. Even if it was yours and you sold it to a guy and bought it back, you still need Tfilas Kalim. That's why all the Achronim write, maybe they don't write it right here, do they? Yes. Because the Tshuva brings down Insip Katan Yud Gimel from the Chachmas Adam. He says, therefore, when you do Mechiras Chametz, you have to be careful not to write that you're selling the Chametz to Kalim to a guy. Right? So if you look in your Sharm Tfilas Kalim, Mechiras Pesach, Mechiras Chametz for Pesach will never say, and I'm selling the Chametz to Kalim to a guy. Why? Because if you sell the Chametz to Kalim to a guy and then buy the map, now you need to total them. And that would be a big tariff. I'd have to total your Kalim every Pesach. Okay, so what do the Shtaras say in Mechiras Chametz? There are two versions of the Shtaras in Mechiras Chametz. Some people say, well, what if the Fliyas Chametz to the Kalim? So they say, we write in the Shtar that we're not selling the Kelim to a guy, we're selling the Blios in the Kelim to a guy. Okay, that way you don't have to tell me your Kelim after Pesach. However, that is not the most proper minhag. It's not the end of the world, but that's not the most proper minhag just because how can you actually sell the Blios in a Kli to someone? Like, what do they do with it when they want it? How do they take it with them? I know if you're a Chamech, it's a bit of a joke, but we try to make it not a bit of a joke. We try to make it as serious as possible. And so, I've seen that that really it's better not sell anything to a guy. Don't sell the Kelim to a guy, because they don't sell them. Don't sell the police in the Kelim to a guy, because then you're making the Shiras Chamech into a joke. On paper, like, one thing to think is a joke. So you think it's a joke, but on paper, it's serious. The law depends on what's written on the piece of paper, which is true in all legal systems. That's reasonable. But if you write in the piece of paper, I'm selling you the invisible Kelim in my Kelim, makes it a bit of a joke. So the best thing is not to sell anything about the Kelim to a guy. Ah, the Blios of the Kelim belonged to a Jew over Pesach. Okay, in time of the Gemara, the Blios of the Kelim belonged to a Jew over Pesach. They hadn't yet invented the Jewish clients. And the Gemara says, Mutter. So obviously we see there's no value of value Mutter by Blios and Kelim. So the most important thing is not to write anything in the Star of the Jewish clients, because if you sell the Blios, it makes it a joke. And if you sell the Kelim, you need to total them. So I've seen different versions. Nowadays, the best versions don't sell anything, just sell actual things. Actual food.
Some versions have the
Ah, some versions say they'll sell the end that's stuck on the cable. Right? Meaning, if I have a cleave that's very dirty that I didn't clean, that has lots of bread stuck to it, I'm selling that. Okay, that's okay, because that's a thing someone can actually sell and take home with them. That doesn't make it into a joke. Because it is a thing that someone could actually buy. Yeah, whether they want it or not, it's not legally relevant, right? The law is your contract is your contract, as long as it means something. So that's okay. Yeah, so you're right. The other ones say, I'm selling you the bit, and that's stuck to my kid. That's okay. That's an actual thing that you could sell. The what proper?
Yeah.
Of the bit and stuck on the kid. Great, okay. Even though the Kazanish thought you should have the place. Okay. Could be. Okay, continuing. But if I pawn my cleat with a guy and buy it back from him, I do not need to tovel it. Here, remember we saw a big issue by a Jew who pawned to a guy who pawned to a Jew, right? Whether the Jew needs to tovel it, whether that's considered acquiring or not. So what do we see here? Buy a guy who pawned to a Jew. If he intends to leave it with the Jew, then it's considered bought. If he intended to redeem it, it's a machlok zachron. And if we're not sure, then it's a safek. What do we say over here? Over here, we say a little differently. We say the Jew pawned to a guy and then bought it back. If he, it says here, pawned to the guy, the shakmi den, the machlok is in the isser, the heter, and the, who is a shach here? Yeah. Can someone read me shach chav hey? Keep going. Yeah. Okay.
So the Bear Hebrew says that it's the Marshal.
Okay. Yeah, because obviously you have to fix something, yeah. Right? that's the Mar. The
oh yeah.
Marshal. Okay, that's better. Okay, so see, that in the Esrei after the Marshal. If the Jew intended to leave with the guy forever and then change his mind, that's machlokes, whether that's considered a sale. But it seems clear, if the Jew didn't intend to leave there forever, it's a vada, not a sale. Why do we differentiate here? If you remember, by a guy pointing to a Jew, if he intended to leave it there, it was for sure a Kenyan. By a Jew pointing to a guy, it's a machlokes, I've heard if he intended to leave it. By a guy pointing to a Jew, if he not sure what he intended, or he intended to redeem it, it's a suffix or a machlokis. Over here, if we're not sure what he, if you didn't if you intended to redeem it, you're vaday nakzer a sale. The reason is, because remember the Gemara is machalik in the sugya baltov konamashkon. Remember what the Gemara says? That a Jew from a goy is konamashkon, but a goy from a Jew is not konamashkon. And therefore, when a Jew gets a mashkon from a goy, there's more likely to be a kinyan than when a goy takes a mashkon from a Jew. Therefore, here, when the goy takes a mashkon from a Jew, if you intended to redeem it, it's for sure not a kinyan. And even if you did not intend it to leave it there forever, it's machalik, so there's a kinyan. Okay. So that's a vipassitin. If you intended to redeem it, it's not a kinyan. And when you redeem it, you don't have a tovel. If you intended to leave it forever and change your mind and redeem it, that's a machlok zachronim, and it's a suffix, whether it's a kinyan. Continue. Yisrael lo v'cham shekhanu kli b'shutfas ein tzar tvila. Something, a Jew and a guy who have shutfas, and the kli belongs to shutfas, you're potter from tvila. Because the Jew is just considered to be borrowing the guy's half. But, as the shach points out here, if the Jew buys out the partner, now it means tvila. Okay, that's very posture, everyone agrees to this, you have to keep in mind. As long as it belongs to the shutfas, the partner, when the Jew, if I buy from the shutfas, or even if the Jewish shutfas buys out his goy's partner, then it needs tvila. Yisrael shekhanu v'cham shekhanu kli b'shutfas ein tzar tvila. Ein tzar tvila. If a goy steals your utensils and returns them, then you don't need tvila. It's not because you're a kinyan. I'm a sari lo so yisrael v'cham shekhanu kli b'shutfas ein tzar tvila. Karnishtak v'yadu kamen. That's a goyish thief. But, right, there's two kinds of thieves. There's thieves who work against the law. They're called criminals, and there's government officials who are called in charge. And they can also steal as much as they want. Okay, nowadays, officially, the government officials can't steal anything. And in most of the countries we live in, the government officials don't steal your stuff. But there's still third world countries out there where they are more traditional. Anyway, there's a difference here between a thief versus a governor. A government official. The government, if they steal your things, then that's considered a kinyan, and if they give back to you, consider buying back, and you need to tovel it. What exactly is the nature of the difference? So the Shach quotes two deis about this. One is the difference is psychological, because if a thief steals something, you don't have yeish, because you might catch it and have to give it back. But if the sarah, the moshel, steals from you, then you're siyaish, because you give up on giving it back. Even if some weird coincidence, you get it back. Once you get yeosh, that creates a kinyan. His second shot is not psychological, it's sociological. A thief can't show off that he stole it from you. Therefore, it's not nikra shmolov, because he has to hide that he stole it from you. Sarah the Moshel can show everyone he's proud of the fact that he stole from you, and it's public that he stole from you. And therefore, it's nikra shmolov, and it's kamaisa shaya. Okay, so that's 2 days after this talk. Yid base. You have to tovel the handle to get it clean. Why? And the achrona right here, and not on the staff. On the staff, no one really says much of anything. Even if the handle is made of wood. Because it's one clean, the handle is part of the clean. You have to tovel the whole heft of the clean. Yud Gimel. Tzar Bahadur HaChaluda Kodun Fila. Chaluda here doesn't necessarily mean rust. It just means old dirt. You have to clean off the dirt before you tovel it. Yeah, nowadays we usually tovel new cable, so it's not an issue. Except for off the stairs, right? In those days, you know, don't use Caleb. So you have to clean off the dirt, including the stickers, before you total it. The low heavier. What if you didn't clean off the dirt? If makro chotzeis, then the same rule as Kefas Nid, do you remember, right? Assuming that dirt is only covering a minority of the surface of the clean. So the rule is if you're makro on it, it's chotzeis, but if you're not makro on it, then it is not chotzeis. And how do we know if you're makro or not? Isn't everyone makro on dirt? No one likes that dirt, Caleb. So he says, if you scrubbed it and burned it off, and there was something you just couldn't clean, then it is a miyachin amakbid, it's not chotzeitz. So basically, what you can't clean off is considered a amakbid. If you can't get it clean, that's called a amakbid, and it is not chotzeitz. It sounds from here, it sounds from this lashon of the it sounds from this lashon of the Mechaber that you have to get rid of the dirt. If you couldn't get rid of the dirt, then a miyachin makbid is okay. It sounds like one could deduce a remez from this, that maybe lechatchila, it's always better to get rid of the dirt. But if you can't, then it's makbid or ain't makbid. That's what we assume, lechatchila should get rid of the dirt. At the very least, you know, that's our minhag. I mean, if it's not the intended rib is the machaber. But if you can't get rid of the dirt, then it depends if you're machbid or a machbid. This comes up with stickers. We take off the stickers before you togo. Everyone goes to the mikveh, takes off the sticker, and then there's the gooey stuff under the sticker. Okay, chacham in a brush. You just take off the stickers at home where you have stuff to scrub off the gooey stuff with. Or you should, you know, bring, you know, Gugan or one of these. They have these spritzes, by the way, that you just, they have chemicals for everything nowadays. You spritz on the gooey stuff, and instead of scrubbing it with soap water for 10 minutes, you spritz on it for 3 seconds, and it comes off. What? They must, but I don't know what it's called. In America, I think it's called Gugan. I'm sure there's other names. Anyway, so bring that with you to the Kehillah Mikvah, because you're always going to notice a sticker at the Kehillah Mikvah. Anyway, Kitzer, what if someone tovol without taking off the stickers? Right? Someone made a mistake. They tovoled, and they left the stickers on. Right? The sticker that says made in China or the price tag or something. So then it depends if it's machbid or ain't machbid. Each case is different, but as a general rule of thumb, if you have a glass utensil, everyone's always machbid on the sticker because it looks ugly, and even though you might not care, but your wife will say, we can't like put salad bowl on the table when everyone can see the sticker. But if you have something that is that's not glass, if you have an opaque cleat that you can't see through, and the sticker's on the bottom, so when you put it on the table, the sticker's on the bottom facing the table, and no one can see it, and it's one of the, you know, standard made in China, whatever sticker, I think it's a good assumption that for a regular person, it's not machbid on that. Meaning, if you just went to a guy who knew nothing about halacha and said, like, oh, do we need to get rid of the sticker? If it was glass, they would say, of course, because it looks bad on the table. What do you think? Sheba Bakr, all of us. And if it was opaque, they would say, no, who's it bothering? Like, no one's going to notice that. So, pastas, if you forget a little sticker on the bottom, it should be okay. On the top of the sides, or if it's glass, when you can see through it, then you would have to go back and total again. But, you know, every case is a little different.
Two things. One, it's a cleat that's not used a certain kind of vehicle. Let's say it's a blender or something else. Like, that's not, like, no one else sees. It's just like, you just use it when you're cooking. Who cares about the sticker?
It's a good question. I'm choshesh that if you see the sticker when you're looking at it, the people might be mad at it.
Even if it's never.
Every case is different. I don't know. You know. But that's my shash. Any sticker that you can see, I would be nervous and at least told a little bit about it.
And when we say, like, the other kilo, is it possible to feel like maybe you should just put a little bit of rough knife you're going anyway? Or are we good? But you have to assume that your plea is a kilo good and doesn't need to feel anymore. If it's the case of miyachin amakbid.
In a miyachin amakbid, it feels really good. You could total with a rough knife. It's just better to, you know, take off all the stickers. But you can really total with a rough. Okay, I'm sure every case is different, and we can't think of all the examples. This is why I'm not sure about the Rebbe of the Shulchan Aruch, because in Hilchas Nida, the Mechaber did not say you have to remove all chatzitz. Right. So it would be funny for the Mechaber to be more machmir by Tfilas Kelim, which is an assay that's not treif, than by Hilchas Nida, which is an Isher Karis, right? So that's like I said, I'm not sure if it's a good diuk in the machaber or not. The answer might be it's a good diuk in the machaber, and you prefer to be machaber if it's nigo also, you just marabas it here. Or you could say, no, it's not a good diuk in the machaber. And the machaber is not machaber, it's a
lochachila. The non-diuk is that the only requires either diuk or...
No, what he says is you have to get rid of all dirt. If you didn't get rid of it, then it machaber lochotzeitz, and if not, ain't no chotzeitz. He doesn't say if you're not machaber, it's lochachila to
that's
people from you and the market. Yeah, that's posh. That's people from you and the market. That's really also. Question is, if it's a miyachin or market, which I'll be did as not chotzeitz, is it still better to have chila to avoid? That's what we pass in Ochaz Nida. Better to have chila for all chatzitzas, even if they're totally kosher to 100. The Mechaber did not write that in Ochaz Nida. But yet he sounds that way in Ochaz Tfilas Kelim. Because he has Tzor Lahaber and Chaluda. He didn't say Lachachila Tzor Lahaber if it's machbid, and ain't no tzarech lahaber, it's ain't no machbid. So it's a little funny in the machaber. Why would he sort of hint that lechatchila get rid of all chatzitzas and don't get into the issue in Tfilas Kelim, and not write hint to that in Tfilas Nida, but
Tfilas Kelim is much more palatable than Sneidah. So that's why I'm not sure if it's a good deal. The Chaver seems to be doing something that he didn't bother to hint that in Hilchos Nidah. So it's a tzar to him, the Machaber, but at the very least, since we Ashkenazim are very clear in Hilchos Nidah, it's best to avoid Machaber Tzitzos. So in Tfilas Kelim also, we assume Lechatchila it's best to avoid. It's best to avoid all chatzitzos. This would seem to imply what would come out of this, that people are told to go up to Har HaBayis without getting into the halachic / meta halachic / hashkafic issue of whether you should go up to Har HaBayis or not. But sticking to the technical issue, you have to total to go up to Har HaBayis, right? Why do you have to total to go up to Har HaBayis? Not from Tumas Mace. Tefillah doesn't help you with Torah space until we get a Hora Duma, right? So still can't go to the Machmas Zohar. The rest of Har HaBayis, Balkeri and Beit Zav. Okay, Balkeri. Balkeri is not supposed to go to the rest of Har HaBayis. That was if you're a Zav, you should be keen. You also know. So Balkeri is not supposed to go to Har HaBayis. If the total to not be Balkeri, people go to Har HaBayis when they go to Har HaBayis. And how bad is it for a Balkeri to go to Har HaBayis? The simple shot is that it's an Isra Sey for a Balkeri to go to Har HaBayis. So then it's very parallel to Tfilas Kelim. What's the level of Chumrah of Tovelim to go to Har HaBayis? Isra Seyi Daraisa. What's the level of Chumrah of Tovelim Kelim? Isra Seyi Daraisa. Right? So Pasha the same level. In which case, if L'chachili should avoid all Chatzitza for Tfilas Kelim, that means also L'chachili should avoid all Chatzitza for going up to Har HaBayis. And therefore, even though we're not as makib going to Har HaBayis as a woman Tovelim, but you should not be lackadaisical, and you should try the chachilu to get rid of all chatzitzas.
Shira, me and Shira Machbid, that's a lot from saying dafka by Nida, no? Meaning the two hairs.
No, it's not dafka by Nida, it's the dafka by Tovelim.
The Gemara is not like two hairs now.
But who says, look, obviously the Gemara is concerned about Nida, but who says the Gemara says dafka by Nida? It's about people with Tovelim. Who says not the women? It's about people total. Nowadays we think of Nida, and the Gemara also Nida was a big part of Tovelim, right? Because it was a big part of life in the days of Tovelim Batara.
It's not for clarifying to Kalim.
Ah, that's what you mean by people as opposed to Kalim. Right, it's not obvious that the principles for people also apply to Kalim, but the Rishonim assume that it does, and that's what this Machaber is telling us.
And that's why being Machaber here, because it's not clear together from the Shiro.
Ah, now I understand what you're saying. That's interesting. Okay, interesting suggestion. I'm not convinced, but it's an interesting suggestion. Yeah.
What about chatzitza? I'm not like a sticker with resting directly. It's not as Kalim have like these like little like zip ties that I can't like take it off and say it's like a little plastic loop around like a spoon or something like that.
Take it off with scissors.
So let's say
So let's say there's a zip tie around it, but it's roughly. That's what's called roughly, right? It's loose. So, the truth is, in Hilchos Nidah, we find that L'chachilah were even machmer and loose chatzitzas. Again, L'chachilah, if you're not stuck, etc., ought to tight chatzitzas. Would we even be machmer and loose chatzitza here? After all, that's a much bigger fish to be machmer and loose chatzitza. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Like, would you have to take off the zip tie if you could?
I once pulled it. Spoon was very like, still a zip tie after. I wasn't sure, like.
But it was loose.
So I know the scissor there, so I just like, I
want to
go all the way up.
Yes, I think certainly if you know the scissor you can make, it could be that we can make a legame because, you know, we shouldn't invent covers unless we find a hint to them in the postgame. But, you know, it would seem to me just, you know, common sense is that, like, why total is implied for no reason. But I don't know there's really a lot of problem. Okay. You're done. Nemos. Aim, I mean, in cotton, what feels capable of tov, aval in tovlo, left negado, having tefillah. You can't trust a cotton about tefillah's capable. Cotton is no good minus. Even if you have a 12-year-old son or an 11-year-old daughter who's very trustworthy, very from, big duration line, and super sharp, and you send them to tovlo a kli, you can't believe them that they've told it because they have no nemanus in halacha. The Gemara in Usachim says that kids have nemanus and drabanus. New rabbanim drabanim and under raisas. So there's some sayings this a while ago. The weak pasuk that tefillas kelim is the raisa, and therefore you can't believe a cup that tefillas kelim. Now here the Vitzchei Tshuva brings down and Rabbi Kiva Eger here
bring down a fascinating discussion. What about glass kelim? After all, glass told the Rabbanan. So maybe you could believe a katan that she toppled a glass kelim. Because a new run of the Rabbanan, like you see, suffered up that. So here is a big machlokas. There are two reasons why, even in glass, we might be machmir. Rabbi Akiva Eiger starts out saying, well, if the Kli's a chuchis, we should believe a katan, because it's only Rabbanan. And then he goes, but there's a Tosos and Erevin who says maybe we only believe a katan and the Rabbanan about their own property. And the case in, as a matter of the Gerson, the case of Sach was it was their own house. But maybe you wouldn't believe them about someone else's property. So if you sent them, maybe you couldn't believe them. Only if it was their glasses, then you could believe them. So it might depend. If it's glass that they use in their kitchen, their family, then you believe them. But if it's just a cut who's helping you out, then you would not believe them. Okay, so that's one chash that Rabbi Akiva Eiger brings up. However, if you look at Hilchos B'dikas Chametz in a tough Lamed Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah discussed it in Tuf Lamed Zayin, Shaar HaTzion, good test, I think. Seems to lean towards being makel on this. Against this Tosos, yeah, there is a deal like that. Tosos is not the majority deal. They can even trust the katan if it's not his kitchen. The other reason, perhaps not trust the katan's world, but is the tshuva. Basically, Tshuva quotes here that at Tzarech Ion from the Prima Gadin, he says, maybe you can't trust the Katan even if he's a Cheska, that's Cheska Zisser. Maybe you only trust the Katan to run, there's no Cheska Zisser, like because Chametz, you don't know if there was Chametz or not. But when it comes to the Kli, it was Vada Cheska Zisser, you know it wasn't Tokov. Okay, here also the Mishnah Berurah passes against this. Tough Lamed Zayin, Mishnah Berurah Yud Zayin says, even if it's Cheska Zisser, you believe a Katan. Even if you saw it from either, you see Chametz, you still believe the Katan. So the simple shot is, we can believe a Katan for glass, because we are makel even b'makom cheskas iser, and certainly if it's his kitchen, and the Mishnah Berurah leans towards it's all in Tuf Lamed Zayin, right? The mucker for all this is Pesachim Dalam and Beis is b'dikas chametz. Should have a Tuf Lamed Zayin here. Says the Mishnah Berurah have gotten. Yod Tess? No. Mishnah Berurah of Katan Yud Zayin. Vafilo Hadisham Vaday Chametz Gam Kei Nemonim. They're Nemon even against the Cheskas Iser. Right? They've been dying that from the Magen Avraham. Says that Prima Gadin seems to lean more that way, etc. So the Mishnah Berurah make a leave Makom Cheskas Iser. What if it's not the Katan's kitchen? So, we're sitting in the Shaar HaTzion, the 19th Shaar HaTzion. He says that the Tosfos in the Shulchan Aruch Rav quotes him, says, you can't trust a cut that goes someplace else, someone else's house to check. The Tosfos of Pesachim doesn't stand that way. And the Chok Yaakov is Nakel. So, he lives in a little bit. Sorry, Ian. But Lamaisa, it seems to be, from that Mishnah Berurah, Tuf Lamed Zayin, that we would nothing machmer on the suffix brought up in the tshuva here. We would trust a katan to total glass, even though it has cheskas iser, because it's only rabbanan. And, you know, if it's, you know, the Mishnah Berurah is not 100% clear about whether rechoshes or tosos and erevin or not, not 100% clear rechoshes or tosos and erevin or not, but he seems to lean towards saying that we're not rechoshes or tosos and erevin. So certainly in your house, you could trust a katan to total glass. Again, better. Make sure you also trust them not to drop. And even in someone else's kitchen, there's mashmos in the words that it needs more to say that one can be made and trust the company.
I feel like it's a better to go yourself. I mean, if they work with something like Dick Kramer, Eric Shabbos, and he's Gathan, what's the other we'll mean to ourselves? And what can you
say? I would say that if it's your kitchen, and then there's no, then you can just be. Somewhere on the front of the Mishnah Berurah to be Makel, Nerolinius Daiti. If it's not your kitchen, and it's just a Shlichos V'Alma, and then it's not a clear Hachra on the Achrona whether it's for Tosin Erev or not, it's a Chlopsi Tosin Erev or Tosin Psachim, then I would say that may better be Machra. Kach Nerolinius Daiti. Okay, the second half of your dalet has to do with Tesvav. What does it say? That you don't trust the Kotel. But a Kotel can do the Tefillah if a Gadol watches him. Right? A Kotel can do the Maisa Tefillah as long as you're a Gadol. Be made that he did it. Right? And likewise, Tesvav, if Hitler came like they, I would come also on Tefillah, holding an Eminent Tefillah. You obviously can't check those that say catch with a Goy, they say you told Kalim. But a Goy can do the Maisa Tefillah as long as a Jew is made, right? Let's say you have a, you know, a security camera, right? By the Kalim Mikvah. Then you could send a katan or a guy or a parrot or a monkey to Tobel Kalim as long as you hack in to watch on the security camera and get the security camera footage, because there's no requirement for anyone particularly to do the Maisa Tefillah. You just need to have proper edos that the Tefillah happened. Okay, that's a clear hakra of the Mechaber. Here, the Shach and the Taz bring down that the Bach disagrees. Hold on 1 second. That the Bach disagrees. Right? That the Bach disagrees. Why? Because if you, I didn't bring my, oh, I did. I did bring my Kofzani Fest. Look at that. Amazing. Who would have thought? If you look at Hilchas Tvila by Hilchas Nida at the end, Nida should, what's the halachic status of Goy Tovos or Kav Tovos? That's not considered Kavana. Like, it's in the water. Just consider you without Kavana, because if Goy is Kavana, it doesn't count. If Kavana is Kavana, it doesn't count. So we pass in Hilchas Nida, the end of Kotzani Ches, Nida Shtovel below Kavana, is Muteris. It's okay, you don't need Kavana. Why? Because you don't need Kavana for Truma and Kutsu. Nida is Kulin, and Tvila's Kelo is Kulin, and Nida is Kulin. However, says Ramah, Yesh Machmirim, the Yeh Matrichos of Tvila Cheres, the Yesh Lahachmir Lechav Kilo. Okay, exactly. Yesh Lahachmir Lechav Kilo, Shach said, like even the evidence should be machmir lechav kilo. Just means if she, it's hard for her to be tovel again, it's okay, but she's tovel again. We pass it. If a woman tovel without kavana, it's a little weird case. What are the odds of a woman being tovel without kavana? But it could happen the woman happens to be on her way to the mitzvah after Shimon and Kiyam and everything, and she trips and falls in the river. Okay, so she's tovel without kavana. She gets out of the river, Baruch Hashem, everyone's safe, it's all good, no bruises or scratches. Does she have to keep going to the mikvah? Or just say, I already told, I fell in the river. So we paskin, that the Ramah says, we're machmir, we're choshesh, if possible, for the day that you need kavana, and she should still go to the mikvah. Okay, river's actually a tricky example, because people in the river's a problem. Let's say it was something, you know, with a pool. Let's say it was someplace that's for sure kosher to total, a lake. Right, she felt like much better than her. What? Yeah, also like, I don't want to put people in a lot of sakana. So I don't want them to fall in the ocean. Okay, Viker. In any case, the pond. She fell in the pond. That sounds very sick. So says the Bach, if we're machmir in Hilchas Nida, we should be machmir her also, and he goes against the Mechaber and the Ramah. And the Bach disagrees and says, nope, since there was no Kavana, it is no good, and you have to Tovel again. But everyone disagrees with him, so here you ask about, what about Bli Kavana / Katan / Goy, which are all the same halachic status, says the Bach, Yachzor V'Yachbil, just like Hilchas Nida, however, says the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach, and the Taz, Yatza, you're Yotze, even without Kavana. Why? So they point out that this is just a quantitative issue. This is quantitative, well, actually, no, not necessarily. I take that back. That they say there's a fundamental difference. Hilchas Nida is Tvila Mitoma Vatara, let us assume. Is Tumah Tara, but Tfilas Kalim is not from Tumah Tara. So what do we see here? When it comes to Tumah Tara, so there's a machlokas with you need kavana for touching the kavana, for truly you need kavana, for truly the Tara Kulim is machlokas. But over here, it's not for Tumah Tara. It's just exeris akasav. It's not within the realm of Tumah Tara. It needs within the realm of Tumah Tara. It is not a tohu, but she tumbles, she becomes tahora. So therefore, it's a machlokas. However, over here, it is not within the realm of Tumah Tara. It's Xerus Agasov. So
Therefore, it doesn't apply with the Svara. The Svara is like we find by Nida, the way we're Machri, or Yashkenaza. The Svara is that it's not Me'inyam Tuma Vitara, and therefore there's no Makar for Kavana. Okay, Halachul Maisa, we Paskin, like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Shach Mataza, when it's the Bach, that you don't need Kavana, therefore the Shach concludes. If you're on your way to the mikvah and you're, or not on your way, but your cleat falls in the lake, that's okay. You don't need to come out at all. If it falls in the lake, you're yotzei. You don't need to go to the mikvah. Oh no, no, the shulchan aruch, the shulchan aruch, the rabbah. I'll totally think of it'll have a tefillah.
The
bach. What? Yes, Rama's machmir of his nida, but he's legal there. I don't think so, no.
So
I think there are more. Yes, it's also his sheep, then. It's also family. Right. Because everyone agrees with that. Okay. The last interesting thing is notice a difference between, well, the Taz points out in Tezvav, he says, if Hitbel came with Yoakum, also left Tzvila. That's a Lashon B'di Evet. Why would the Lashon only be B'di Evet? If it's no good, it's no good. If it's good, it should be even L'chachila said they're going to do it. And someone already shouted this out. Why does the Bach Taz say it's only to be Evet to send it with a guy? Because if you send it with a guy, then you lose the bracha. If you send it with a katan, then the katan can make the bracha. That's no problem. But if you send it with a guy, the guy's not going to make the bracha, and therefore, it's the Evet to do without a bracha. If you're stuck, so it's disabled, whatever. So they can't total it. So they have their, you know, home health care. They total it for them and they watch. Without a bracha, but lechatchila, you should not send a goy to do it because then you'll miss out on the bracha. Although, according to this, or even lechatchila, if you have a lot of kelim, you can make the bracha and then you and the goy can do it together. But you didn't miss out on the bracha. Okay. Tes Zion. Im shachach velohit velklimi erev Shabbos om erev Yontif. The assumption here is it's usher total kelim and Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, it says the furish in the second kainza. That is also total kelim and Shabbos and Yontif. If I recall correctly, it's four different days. Why? It's not so mafurish in Maseches Beitza. Whether that's only in the days of Tumah Vatara, or even for Tfilas Kelim of a guy, which is not Tumah Vatara, it's also also doing Shabbos and Yontif. But we paskin that it's also total kelim and Shabbos and Yontif, bane for Tumah Vatara purposes in the old days, bane for kashrus quote unquote purposes nowadays. That you're not allowed to tovel on Shabbos Yontif. As a matter of fact, that's not even what the Machaber is discussing here. He just thinks there's a push that's also tovel on Shabbos Yontif because that was carbon health shops. Right? That's not his topic now. It's not what's also motor on Shabbos Yontif. His topic is what's the cleaning law.
What's the Isser?
The Isser is, okay, that's the four-way machlokas amorayim in the Seches Beitza. It seems to be the day we paskin like, although, hey, this is good for machlokas. Simple shot doing pasul like is because it's near a kibbutzakin mana. But your abundance like fixing because you're making something useful.
What about the evet? If you fell in by accident,
if you fell in by accident, that would be fine. Yeah. Not only that, but it's even mutter if it might not look like fixing it. Like for example, in the old days of Tumah Vatara, if you had a tumah bucket, you could go to the well and lower the tumah bucket and get water out of the well, even though your intention is to tovel it because it doesn't look like fixing, it just looks like drawing water from the well. Okay, but I don't know how useful it is nowadays. So what do you do? Question is, what do you do in Shabbos or Yontif? You can't use the kli without toveling it, and you can't tovel it. What the assumption of Shofan Arfa, they haven't told us yet. The assumptions of they haven't told us yet is that you can't use a kli without toveling it. Right? He never told us yet to also use a kli without toveling it. That's sort of implied. If you have to total, that means don't use it without totaling it. Here, it's before it. You can't use a kli even just for one day without totaling it, right? Even once. Someone asked me, it was after shiur, how come people think that you're allowed to use a kli once without totaling it? And I answered, because people are just mistaken. Okay, I think I said a little harsher. I answered, it's just a mistake. It's just a misunderstanding. It's because people don't know the difference between chetz and gabra. Someone heard once that you're allowed to use an aluminum pan without totaling it because you only use it once. The Svara was because the Chefza is not considered a Chefza of a Kli Suda because it's not good for repeated use. But that person misunderstood and thought it was a Hetra and a Gavra. You're allowed to do anything once without totaling.
They misunderstood. Now, a one-time hefta is exempt. And they thought you're allowed to use anything once without totaling it. That's not true. We see from here that you're not even allowed to use it once without totaling it. Repulsion will happen otherwise. It's not like a machlokas or a minority shita. It's just a mistake that people think you can use them once without totaling it. My theory is the reason they made the mistake is because they heard that you can use a disposable cleat without totaling it. And they misunderstood. Because they didn't know about hefta and gafra. But in any case, whatever the reason is, if Pashim can't use it once without totaling it. So once the Eitzah, you never overcome Matana, give it to a guy for a present and borrow it back from him. Now that once to a guy, you're Potter. The Harkish shall lend me men who went to a shop. So if you give it to a guy for a present and borrow it from him, then it is okay. That is a loophole. Meaning, I'm not a philosophical reason why that makes sense. It's a loophole. And you can use this loophole when you are stuck. After a mother, he has said, what if the weekday, but you have no place to total it? Right, you're in Hungary, and right, I told you, right, someone told me from Hungary, and there's no mikvah, and there's no lake, there's no body of water, you know, within 7-hour drive, whatever the case may be. So what do you do? So you could give it to a guy and then borrow back from him. What if you, nothing with this, but while you're talking about not being able to use that token, what if you did an aveira? Here also seats an aveira to use that token, right? If you did an aveira to use a cleat without totaling it, it doesn't trafe up the food. It's a maisa iser to use a cleat without totaling it, but it doesn't trafe up the food. The food is still perfectly fine. And it doesn't make it too late. You did one thing wrong by using it without totaling it, but you can still total it and use it from now on. Okay, how about this eats of giving to a guy? There's a classic harama. Okay, very similar to other haramas in the Torah, right? To selling your field to a guy for Shemitah, and selling your chametz to a guy for Pesach, and selling your business to a guy for Shabbos, all these things which, you know, more people accept or less people accept, etc. Says the Taz something very important here. Yerches nearly the high, and we pass in this way. The high key. Oh, when did this come up? This came up. This is what they did in Eretz Yisrael, and I think in America also. I saw the Beth in America that did this during Corona. Remember when we were on lockdown? When we were in lockdown, you couldn't go to the mikvah. Anyway, it was closed. You couldn't go to the mikvah. So what do you do when you're on lockdown? You can't tell me your kalim. You can still order in the mail from Amazon. Get new kalim, especially last year. This year, I don't think anyone was on lockdown for Pesach. Kalim was broken. But it's in Israel, the U.S., Canada. But last year before Pesach was like the worst of the worst, right? We were almost all in jail. So a lot of people were planning to go for Pesach. They got a rude surprise. They were making Pesach at home. It was very stressful. I got a lot of very stressed out shilas. And they quickly went on Amazon and bought Pesach kalims. They didn't have any Pesach kalims. They showed up to Amazon and told them. They can't tell them. There's no Pesach, no kalim mikvah. So what do you do in a place where you don't have access to a mikvah? So, no problem, you sell it to a guy. Okay, how exactly do you sell it to a guy if you're on lockdown? So in Israel, the Machon Tzomed, in America, I think there's an American, I'm not mistaken, or CRC, but I think the BDA, had a website where you could go and you could appoint them, your shliach, to sell your kelim to a guy on the website and solve the problem. Okay, so that's the best eitzah for getting out of all difficult tefillah shaklas is to sell it to a guy and borrow it back. I remember once when I was a rabbi in MTA, we had a sheer baseball game and barbecue, right? Moshe Tzarech. And someone, no one remembered to bring tongs to take the food off the grill. So I sent one of my talmidim, I think afterwards he came to Russ, rabbi now, and I sent him to the local bodega, said, go buy some tongs, spatula, some sort of kli, so we can get the meat off the grill. But you can't buy it because then it would be a tefillah. So I said, go tell the bodega guy, you're willing to pay him the full price for it, but you don't want to buy it from him, you just want to borrow it. You'll give him all the money, but you only want to borrow it. You don't want to buy it. Go tell the bodega guy that. Okay. My Talmud had an even more elegant solution. He was a little intimidated. You never know what the bodega guy's going to think these Jews are trying to do to him. People are very suspicious of Jews. So he's a little nervous about it. Instead, he went and he just found something made of plastic that didn't need to be totaled to solve the problem. But if you needed to buy some metal in the bodega or any other grocery store, and you didn't have a way to total it, then you can use this trick. Just tell the guy, instead of selling it to a guy, giving it to a guy, just say, I want you to keep it, I just want to borrow it, I don't want to buy it from you, and then it would be okay. However, says the Taz, Yud Ches, merely the high tikkuna in alafi shah. You're only allowed to use this trip temporarily. You're going to replace that a mikva. But eventually, you're going to replace with a mikva. It's Shabbos. But eventually, it'll be multi Shabbos. You're only allowed to use this trip temporarily, not permanently, which is why I checked. When they had those websites that you sold your kelim during Corona, it said on the fine print, you authorize us when the lockdown ends and the mikvahs are open to buy it back on your behalf, and then you'll go to it. This cause that said you're not allowed to use this trick permanently, you're only allowed to use it temporarily. What? And then you can talk with a brother, yes.
Unlike you did this bodega trick, that Hospice is
right. If you want my humble opinion, I would say Pasha, even though you borrowed it from the Vega guy, you could decide next week or tomorrow that you decided you want to keep it. Oh, you're stealing from the Vega guy because you only told me you were borrowing it, it's still his, and now you're deciding to keep it. And aren't you stealing from the Vega guy because he has a lock of Usher? I think we can make Mako on Gesalako in this case. I think we can make Mako on Gesalako in technical ritual cases. Palavine, we should be mocking Gesalako when people steal millions of dollars. Let's start with that, not with this. And that's a very similar discussion about the Mishnah, right? Can you use the guy, which is a Mashkin to you, etc.? Okay. Anyway, Kitzer. Why? What's the Svara? That's when something's found in my hand or in my chutzar, well, let me use my das in the chutzar. Yes, that is true. Okay. In any case, Rav Hosai, he gives two reasons why he thinks you can't use it permanently. He says, number one, because if you borrow it permanently, maybe that counts as yours for the sake of Tefillas Kelim, because now it's permanently yours, even though technically you only borrowed it. Maybe that counts as yours. Number two, even if it doesn't count as yours, if I borrow your talis, I don't need to put tzitzis on it. But after 30 days, me rabban and I do, right, etc. So maybe me rabban, 30 days of borrowing counts as owning. So he has two svaras why he thinks it doesn't work permanently. Number one, because maybe it becomes called yours. Number two, because maybe 30 days. Borrowing is considered owning mitrabanan. They said that he's not sure. So don't make a bracha, unless you acquire the gamre. But at the very least, he's machmir that you can't use this trick permanently. So the problem is, if you can't use this trick permanently, what about now you don't have a mitzvah available when you're on lockdown or it's Shabbos redundant? What about things that you just can't figure out how to tovo? They're electronic and they'll break, they're too big to fit in the mitzvah, etc. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, you don't always have to keep this positive. Rabbi Kiva Eger, the third Rabbi Kiva Eger, in R. Simon, said, I don't think he said himself, he was quoting, he says, "Ain't takana kima yiharama latida lo mikhav matana lash ilami menu." Right? And he's quoting here the Knesset, I think, someday you can't fit in the mikvah. What is this Rabbi Kiva Eger telling us? That we make a compromise. When you can tovel it, you're now allowed to use this trick for a long time. But when you can't tovel it, then we're nikel, you could use this trick even forever. Because with the less brera, we're so much in this trick forever. So we don't take this cause to its logical conclusion. Rather, we don't take it as absolute. When possible, we only use this trick temporarily. But if it's impossible, you're allowed to use this trick permanently. So let's say someone has a curing that you can't tovel. Then you could sell it to a guy or give it to a guy and borrow it back even permanently and rely on this machaber. But if you're just inconvenient, then you can only use this machaber temporarily.
Could you do the harama that you mentioned by Goteka if you were at a department store and bought a kurdik, or that would only work if it's really?
That's a good question. Meaning, let's say you order from Amazon, you're not talking to any person, etc. Can you have in mind not to be kona, only to borrow it, and use that trick, and use that trick to be mekel? After all, you say you're kona it, but you have in mind that you only want to borrow it. That's an interesting question. That's a good question. You might not solve the whole problem. When you buy something that's hard to tovel, just have in mind that you never want to, you've paid the guy, but you never want to be Kohen in the first place. You have in mind you only want to borrow it, but it still belongs to the original seller on Amazon, assuming the original seller was not Jewish, right? Because the Jew bought from a guy and you borrowed it. But okay, odds are he's not. But that needs a work.
The simple shot is that it would. I think the simple shot is that it would. That even if you went to Costco or Amazon and you ordered something, you paid for it with your credit card, you put it on the checkout line, if you had in mind that you refuse to own it, you're only willing to borrow it, then I think it would work. Now, you're not allowed to use that permanently, but you have another option. If you have no other option, I think you could rely on that.
Being awkward for yourself,
would
it be better just always
that? That depends how much you like awkwardness. I don't mind a little awkwardness. I think it's healthy.
Why is it okay to only have mine to borrow something and not tell the person who's selling to you? They might want to take advantage of that reality and get money again for sell it to the person.
Meaning, this guy thinks he sold it to you.
Yeah. If you knew if you're only borrowing it, then you'd say, okay, you know, 2 weeks later, actually, I want another $100.
Yeah, I hear the kasha, but I hear the kasha, and you're at least still to be Mako.
But then pickle jar, the store owner doesn't want pickle jar.
I understand. You're
they want to carry it.
Right. I hear you're tying up. I hear you're tying up. All right, let's think about it. Yeah. By the way, raise your hand if you don't have the packet. Whoever didn't bring the packet, raise your hand. Okay, but Ben raises his hand for a question.
Is it possible to say, like, with a Keurig, that it's never really, there's a coffee and there's never really a problem with it, it's boiling? It only is the coffee
no.
For a second. You can never eat it. Whatever the coffee
no.
is.
No, I don't think so.
Out. I don't think so.
Too creative.
I actually heard somewhere on the board. Who said that it's what's it called? It's like the interviewer.
Maybe the Keurig is potter because the base has started.
Yeah.
So as long as it's only outside, that's good enough. Yeah, I still think it might break if you totally outside because it's very complex. But okay, I have to think about that. I hear the time. You're doing my quantum gap.
But he said bringing the guy with you to the film, if you make the wrap. I remember in private audience we discussed the fact that maybe like a has to be a rough.
No, after this, yeah, see in the Yeshivas.
In the Yeshivas, right. I think we mentioned that it has to be a rough. So I said, like, the bracha was tall on the first one, but you said there's a halos of a bracha on every single place. You're losing out on a bracha.
So you're saying if I bring it to a guy, even if I make the bracha. I'm still losing out on the bracha on the ones that go totals, because the bracha's not going on the ones he totals.
Yeah.
That is a good hara. No, the point is that if I total 10, the guy totals 10, maybe I'm losing out on the bracha on the 10 the guy totals. Because really, when I said the bracha, it goes on 10 times, but it should have gone on 20 times. That's a good hara. Okay, I have to think about it. Okay, let's just look at the last page of this packet, Makoros 18-23. Yeah.
What's your worry? You mentioned that potentially just buying when I was going to the bodega buying the tongs, saying I want to buy a skeleton and just buy more things.
Right, theoretically, that would be another option. You could tell the bodega guy you want to buy half of it, you want to buy 50% stake in the tongs.
I want you to be my co worker.
Yeah. Yes. So maybe if you just buy a steak in it, that's also good enough. Okay, fair enough. And therefore, if you want to sell it to a guy, you can just sell him a share of it, you know, sell the whole thing. Okay, that would also be an option. Why the seminar convention? It may be just simpler. Okay, this is a very common shine that comes up. What about eating someplace where they didn't total their cable? By the way, we don't want to get chances. How about eating someplace where you didn't total their cable? According to what we just saw, it's usher to eat up cable that weren't totaled. So then it's a problem to eat in someone's house or business who didn't total their kelim. How bad is it to eat on untotaled kelim? Look at number 18, says the Rosh HaRuah, a אבל כלים חדשים שלושתם של פעלי נמי כלים שונים של שתם של מגיל ולבנון, דהש לפולטים על ישראל וחדשים דומי, פילות כבר התפילה, הוא אין ב-18, אין זה כי עם זירס הקוסט, זה אולי זירס הקוסט לטוב כלים, דה עושר אחרון על שתם של בלי תפילה, דה תורה עשר תפילה ודאו תפילה. You never know if this is, he meant every word literally, but if you take the word there is a word literally, it sounds like Asur Achman, it's Asur Midaraisa to use a food without tefillah. Just like Asur Midaraisa to wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. So, the Urza word sounds like the Mishnah Daraisa to use it without tumbling. However, the Mishnah word does not sound that way. Number 19 says the Bir Halacha in Hilcha Shabbos, where he brings down the locus we've shown about whether you can tumble kin on Shabbos. The davka b'kli tumim shem b'shtam so shum b'yachlero b'sur shachol shum b'zbeim hashein ke b'kli chadash gam b'shtam so b'kli tefila in a machol nesar and a kli tumim if you eat truman if it's a thing of aver. If you use a kli, a new kli without tumim, the food is not an aver. The avka b'dom b'sur rash b'shtam so b'kli tefila, even though you did isra by using that tefila. Tefila b'shem zel lo b'vina shem b'shem. We don't make exera, there's no daily bar, unless you delay. Kim dal kol penning in ochel eser. Doesn't make the food treif. The gamin isers I can't be dropped on, and I feel that's a sober that feel in a Torah. Very important, not brother your halacha. Even if you hold like the mainstream opinion that Tovel and Kilos meet the Raisa, not like the Ramban, and what some people want to say the Ramban. But the mainstream opinion, feel Tovel feels Kilos the Raisa, the iser of using without Tfila, meaning Sifta Zion here, is only be dropped on. So the Achronim assume like the Bir Halacha, that the iser to use it in a weird circumstance, that Toveling it is only be dropped on. For example, if it's Shabbos or Yantif, or you forgot to use them now totaling it, when you're stuck, that's only the drop on it. The answer to Raisa is if you decide not to total it, then you're doing a batal to save the Raisa. But to use it once is only a drop on it. In which case, it could be that if you go to someone's house or store or restaurant or hotel, they can total their kelim. You're not this, according to Mr. Brewer, it's not a shash issue to Raisa to eat up on total kelim. It's only a shash issue to drop. So maybe we should look to see if we can find a kula. The question is, can we find a kula? So that depends who you ask. There are three main shitas about this, even though there are different svaras for the shitas. The Machmer shita is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Says Rav Moshe, basically you can't eat off kelim that weren't totaled, with only very, very limited exceptions. Look at Rav Moshe number 20. What does he say? That you're very limited kuma. If you go to a hotel or restaurant and they've been told a Jewish, if the Gaonish hotel or restaurant is no problem. But if it's a Jewish hotel or restaurant, they didn't total their kelim, you're not letting the kelim out totaling. The only thing is that they put dry food on a plate and you take it with your hands or with a toothpick. Then it's mutter because you're not really using the kelim. Right? Meaning you could have taken it with your hands or toothpick off the tablecloth as well. The kelim is just sort of sitting there minding its own business. You're not actually using the kelim. That's its only kula. If you're not getting anything out of the kelim, that's not considered using. So if you go to a kiddush and the guy didn't total his kelim and he gives you a fruit platter, you can take fruit from the fruit platter. It's like you're not really using the platter, right? But you can't use a fork or a knife or a spoon that's metal because then you're using it. You can't drink from a glass, then you're using it, right? Without the glass, it's metal, right? So it's only, it's a very, he basically says, usher with a very limited heter. What? No, I don't. But if you need the kli, like soup or machol machol, or when things also lechol minable kli, you just can't. It's called a suda. It's called the use of suda since you need them. Okay, says Rav Moshe, it's usher except for this very limited rare exception. But basically, you go to someone's house or hotel or store where they didn't total their kelim, and it is usher to use any kli. Just if something's on a platter, you can take it off the platter because you're not really using the platter. It's just sitting there looking pretty, but you don't actually get any use out of it. No, because anything you use for eating is for sure considered important use. So, I mean, it's similar. Similar. Yeah.
What exactly is it?
Okay, that was a tangent. basically, there's 4 days I send the garbates of whites also tovo kelim on Shabbos and Yontif. One day is as exera, lest you leave it till Shabbos or Yontif and you forget to tovo it. Like, when you don't work. If you're allowed to work Shabbos and Yontif, you would leave it till Yontif, because you're too busy at work, and then you might forget. So he says, according to that day, it would only apply to Tumah Vatara, not to Tfilas Klei Akum, because Tfilas Klei Akum, if you forget, it's not so bad. That was the context, but it was that
one. It matters that you know the day intended. I mean, you just know that you've seen this person at the killing it, and you know that they are not Midaki at all. They don't know the Alphas, they don't like go over it, they hold it right. Hey, I don't know, things like that. Like, but the person at least tried to do the Tfilas Klei Akum, but you just don't trust that their Tfilas Klei Akum is
so. I'm not so firm like you. I'm going to assume it's okay. Okay, yeah, but what if the guy's like not from, right?
Yeah, not from, he goes to the
Mikvah
and he
Well, I mean, it was not from, go to the
pre-sale. He tried.
The truth is, I've seen a lot of posts. Can you tell me what Moshe is saying? If there's someone from, but you don't know how didactic they are, and you don't know how knowledgeable they are in halacha, then they're Mako because, maybe the Tobel is Kalim, maybe you should be Mechazis Kashrus, etc. Even people who aren't super duper sharp, like, many of them know the halacha feels Kalim. Even if the kids don't know that they're an altitude pain, the mother knows how long the feels Kalim, she tells her Kalim. Okay, but let's say you're talking about someone who's not from. Someone's not from, obviously, they told the kid, they accidentally dropped their clea to a lake. Much less a ritual area. Or you happen to know for some reason that you didn't talk to Caleb. Okay, so basically says Rav Moshe, Usser, unless you're not using it. Right? But that's very rare. You can take a fruit, a slice of watermelon off the glass platter, because you're not getting anything out of the glass platter. But you can't really eat in someone's house.
You can slice the melon.
Why is that a good
example? They slice the melon with the
melon. Who cares? They slice the melon with the melon like that's over and done with it and trade for food. Right? You're not slicing the metal. They already sliced the metal. According to Moshe, they already sliced the metal. They didn't ask for Moshe. They're not from. Exactly. For 100%, if someone didn't tovel their kalim and they cooked pasta in a metal pot that's not tovel, that's exactly the last ramah in Simchot Kaf. Lo neser mashen ishtamish bo. I can transfer that pasta to a plastic bowl and eat it with plastic silverware. Plastic. Not silverware, plastic.
Plastic.
Utensils. Plasticware. Yes. I think I say plastic silverware, even though it's not logical. Okay. That's Rav Moshe. However, many posts can come up with this big kula. Look at the Tzitzel Eliezer. And this kula, it's very mechunish logically, but it has roots. B'shut Shevet Sofer. Shevet Sofer is maybe the grandson of some Sofer, I'm sure. What?
Great-grandson.
Maybe the great-grandson. Chilkir Dei Atzer Nishal Al Dvar Ha the Seltzer.
The flush.
Yeah, that's the shchicha in the tuv neimalo tovlosan. Basically, you get the. You don't have this anymore. When I was a kid, you don't have milk. You don't have any of this. When I was a kid, there's no milk yet. You bought milk in a disposable container at the supermarket, but there was still the soda guy and the seltzer guy, right? The soda guy came and he delivered like one of those like grapevine things with like 12 compartments. 12 bottles of soda, the flavors you ordered, and you drink the soda, and then this is real recycling. When I was a kid, we were environmentally correct. We didn't pretend. It didn't feel better like putting your glass in a recycling thing. No. We mamish recycle. You deliver 12 bottles of soda, you drink the soda, you leave out the 12 bottles, and next week you would take those back to the factory, they would wash it with soap. Right, probably sterilize them, I said, and with boiling water or something, and give you 12 different bottles of soda. The same thing for the seltzer. Right? We got the seltzer in those like fire extinguisher bottles. Don't think. I'm pretty sure my biggest use of her as a kid was using the seltzer bottle as a weapon. which you guys only had that use of her for actual fire extinguishers. And then there was more of an incentive not to give in. Because you would get in more trouble. But here, like, the temptation was very, very far. Because it wasn't even really so bad. Like, how much the seltzer cost, and you're not going to ruin anything. It's just water. But in any case, I usually refrain. But we get the seltzer in like the spritz bottles. Like, you actually require to do it like this and spritz out. Really cool. And you drink the seltzer and then give it back. So I assume that's what he had in his days also, right? He lived in, when I was a kid, not nowadays. Even when I was a kid, most people didn't do this. My grandmother did this because, you know, she was from the older generation. My parents bought in disposable bottles in stores. But what does he say? He says the problem is they have a Jewish company, and the Jewish company buys these seltzer bottles and doesn't total them, and then all the, you know, big rabbis subscribe to them, get the seltzer deliveries, and no one cares that they don't total them. How could it be? Neymalo total is like, well, hopefully, so it's being the feel of Chas Maskenaso, Lahatter, Alpi, Dere Mes Yosef, and Kochav, Sepchestim, Lachor, Mishnah, Storb, Lushkam, so Mishil, Shal, Akhmet, Shal, Tvila. It's borrowing from someone who bought it for non-food purpose. What non-food purpose? So, we pointed out that the Chachmas Adam in the Yisnei Tshuva says, if you bought it to sell in a store, that's considered schora and not suda. And therefore, if you borrow from him to eat with, you are potter. Okay, you get the basic point. It's interesting. He quotes a little later, he says. The ain on the Rashi lahachmer b'darish shechazinu shafilu tzaddikim gedolim in makpidim. Came and shall call upon a machol l'nesel l'shem dea. Very fascinating. Are you allowed to be more machmer if even the tzaddikim are machmer? All the big rabbis don't worry about the seltzer. Are you allowed to be machmer and total the seltzer bottles? Says no, you're not allowed to be machmer more than the big tzaddikim because either way the food is kosher. Interesting shara. Like if there's a chash the food is trade, maybe you'd be allowed to be machmer more than the tzaddikim. But if it's just a mice of the gavra, then there's no heter, it's arrogance. Okay, in any case, we're not getting into that philosophical issue now. Halachal Maisa, what's his kula? His kula is that it's clay skora. And if the owner bought it for skora and you borrow it for food, then your potter, I know the chef and tell a little rachmer, but, you know, there's room to be makel there. The heter of clay skora, this is extended very logically by Rav Avadya, number 22. You can drink a glass from the kiosk without totaling it. The same reason. Because the owner is potter for him. It's a kliskori, not a klisuda. He didn't buy for a person eating and drinking a certain skora for his business, for his nostalgia, he must go to the coast with his customers. The actual Knesset can't lay on the Sarka Asex if they're only business can't lay on the Sarka Latvila, the owner's putter, Gamashosli can't lay on the Sarka Shovel of his Soker. Now you borrowed from someone who bought it for non eating purposes, so you are putter. Okay, that's the Sikom of Ravadio. Let's read the Sikom of 22. Sikom, Motor Lech, Lish of the Kiosk of Misadal, Bate Aracha, Sherim, in non-Mahadran restaurants and hotels, they don't require tefillas kelim. Based on this, it's a yeser and the Rav Avadya, which they didn't invent. It's a darkei tshuva, it's a shiva and sofer. It goes back. Why? Because the owner of the hotel and restaurant bought it for business, not for suda. So he's putter. You're borrowing it to eat your suda on. When you borrow for food purposes, a kli that the owner bought for non-food purposes, even though shachantaz are not a little lemaisa we're making. The year to balam sadal hachmel hachmel kelim shushol tzar kuch the hibul brachanus. And if the owner wants to machmel, let's say he wants to hachmel shkafa, they require totally his kelim. We should do it without a bracha. Maybe he doesn't really need to. Ulam, he says, hamasariach with they so shall have air yodei shlo hibul as a kelim atun tefila. If you're at you're staying at someone's house and you know they can total their kelim, then there's no grounds to be makel. Also, alecho belishos mekelim as you build, and that's aser. Then that's Lesuda. So that's the in-between Shita. The in-between Shita is for Rav Avadya and the Tzitz Eliezer. Okay, he doesn't finish the same way. He says it depends. In a private home, it is Usher. But in a business, it is Mutter. Because it's not a klisuda, it's a klischora. This is a tremendous chish. Much more so than the Pisgah Chuvah we saw Brothers Chacham Sadeh. Why is this a tremendous chiddush? Logically, I would not have said this at all. Somebody great up front would say it, but I'm not saying I'm prepared to that I'm prepared to say they're all lying. But why is this logically a big chiddush? The restaurant, the restaurant are not clay suited, they're clay score, they're business kalim, not meal kalim, not eating kalim.
Business is the meal.
Because the business is serving people food. Right? It's one thing to say if a storekeeper bought it to sell in his, you know, if Fox Home bought it to sell in their store, maybe that's a kliskora. Because they weren't planning on anyone eating from it. That was the case of the Chacham. But I buy kalim from my restaurant. The reason I buy them is to feed people meals on them so that people would eat from them. The finish is it's not called klisuda because it's not for my personal eating. It's for the customer's eating. So the fact that I'm not eating personally means they base so. That I don't personally use it. I only want you to eat on it. That makes it out of suda. To me, it's a tremendous chiddush. If I bought it for the sake of people eating on it, who cares if the people are me or customers? I would have thought this was suda, but this is a big chiddush, and all the Achronim like this chiddush. Remember, it's not invented by 20th century Achronim. Big chiddush that Kalim used for others to eat on are kleskora, not klesuda. Meaning klesuda means kalim for personal suda. Kalim for business suda are not klesuda.
Also, I would venture to guess that in a lot of restaurants, especially not looking for a manager, the owners and workers would probably be using this kalim.
Yes, but the Shevet Sofer already deals with it. It says, even though the Bailim eat the Derech Arai, that's still room to be makel, because that's the Arai use, it's not the main use.
They'll use it on a constant basis.
Yeah, they wouldn't have bought it for that. You can squeeze out a kula. All right?
Every day they have lunch.
What?
No, every day they
have
lunch.
Every day they have lunch, yeah. And, but look, that's
awesome. They bought it for yourself.
Yeah, anyway, you're right, it's big chiddush for two reasons. Lemaisa, that's the, what do we see from here? Lemaisa. We all rely on this. Because even a lot of Mahadran places, they're not, but Hashgachas, theoretically, but they're not always so Makla and Tfilas Kalim. And even non Mahadran places, like maybe we don't get the, you know, we don't get the meat there, but, you know, we get a, you know, a can of Coke or something, glass of Coke, etc. Lemaisa, we rely on this, even though it's a big finish. But the minhag olam is reliant.
It could be that, so I'm thinking that their svara is very abstract, that it's, they're not trying to serve people food, they're trying to extract money from people. This is kind of the way that they're making
it's just not intuitive. Intuitively, you would never have said this. Okay? But this is in the Gedolei Achronim, right? Meaning it goes back, you know, well over 100 years. Or at least around 100 years.
That you would only use if you had the government door coming to your house to eat.
That's an interesting question. What if you buy kalim only to serve a certain guest? Maybe that's not called place suda. Maybe it's not. Yeah, I don't know. It's very hard to tell where to draw the line. Agav, okay. While we're agav, let me deal with this issue. Yoni, you can fill me in. Here. This has to be the issue of kleskora. Forget about this big chiddush. What's the small chiddush? What's the smaller chiddush? This smaller chiddush, which is not such a crazy chiddush. I might not have known it on my own, but it's not a crazy chiddush. It's found in the Pesach Chuvos of Fakhtes. Is that kalim intended for selling to the customer who will use it for food, are kleskora, not klesuda. That's a smaller chiddush. If I have a store, and I don't have a restaurant, I have and not clay suda. And that's why the Venus Sutton says if someone wants to borrow it once and eat from it. Yeah, nowadays I think it would be considered like regular customer, but then they can. Okay, and that's a smaller fish, right? Because after all, as long as I have them, I don't want anyone eating them at all. Right? So that's not called clay suda.
Wouldn't a Jew buy these killings for the sword from a non-Jew and then me who I know is best of not actually being Conan, wouldn't mean that they'd not be high to give up and kill him? Or eventually they would be high to buy him from Jew and be high, but if he comes to the sword from him and then you buy it from not being Conan, it's going to give up or kill
him. No, because it still belongs to him and now it's a clay suda. I don't know. I'm not convinced. It would be like you had something and you told me I could decide what it's being used for. And I decide it's being used for suda. So then it's a kli suda. That's what it would be like. Okay. Halacha l'maaseh, this comes up to a very confusing case, the following case. L'chora, there's no difference in selling and giving as a gift. Right? So, well, number one, you ask, why don't all the fruit stores have a big chak, get more business, pre-total all their kalim, and then more people buy at their store because they don't have to treat themselves to total it? The answer is because they can't, because maybe they're pliskora and they're not plisuda yet in the hands of the store. So that's why they can't total them. The question now becomes this: what if I want to buy a candy tray or something for you, and I want to give it to you as a gift? Can I total it to give it to you as a gift? A, maybe it's just nice to total it. B, if I want to give it to you filled with candy, then maybe I should have to total it. Can I total it before I give it to you as a gift? According to this, since I'm not buying to use it, I'm only buying to give it as a gift, I can't total it because it's not yet a klisuda. According to this small chiddush, if I buy a dish to give you, I can't total it and give it to you because it's not a klisuda yet. And according to this big chiddush, which we rely on, the kula, so certainly the chumra, even if I buy a dish to fill with candy and give to you, so I want to feed you candy from it, but since I don't want to eat candy from it, I want to give it to you as a gift to feed you candy from it, it's not a klisuda. It's a klisara. Give me a second. So halacha l'maisa, it's a machlokas, but halacha l'maisa, I'm sorry, will about this, and I think it should be machmir, that you can't total something before you give it as a gift, because it might not be a klisuda yet. Even though that's a big chiddush, l'chora and l'chomra, we should rely on this chiddush and say, don't talk like that might not be a clean suda yet. So what if I do want to total something? So what if I want to give you something so I can give it to you? That's totaling and you'll total it. What if I want to fill it with candy? So fill it with wrapped candy. And then I don't need to total it, right? Fill it with, like, you know, taffies in a wrapper. Then I don't need to total it or something. Or, you know, figure out some clever way around that. What if... or the truth is, maybe if you just rely on the kilo and fill it with candy and give it to you, because, no, but once I give it to you, then it's going to be a klisuda in your hands. Okay, so fill it with wrapped candy. Or, yeah, but you don't want to get into that if you have a situation unnecessarily, Lahore. Or the other option is, if I want to give you a present, I can go to the store and be zachman until the fun of it and be pulling it on your behalf. And then I can total it for you. So if you want to, buy someone a dish and total it for them, there are two ways. I know this is one. Either zachman until the fun of buy it for them, and now it's theirs, the klisuda, or buy it without committing yourself to whether you're going to give it as a gift yet or not. You know, buy it for yourself and then decide whether to give it as a gift. Okay, that gets a little tricky when you're being honest or you're not being honest. Certainly, if you wrap it up all nicely and secure, you're not buying it for yourself. So the best aids is either give it without totaling, or if you want to total it and then give it, then buy it on their behalf, and now it'll belong to them, and it'll be a klisuda. What if they decide to re-gift? Okay, but meanwhile, they haven't decided to re-gift, so I think it's okay. That's what came out of this. Now, yeah. Correct. I think that's what Yoni meant, maybe. No, it's not. Yeah, it could be cool, but like, your question is that I don't think Ramosha meant for us to get into this Lechafila.
If you went to someone for a Shabbos meal, you maybe have in mind that you're not giving them a gift per se. You're probably going to leave to leave with them, but you're contributing to the meal by bringing a bowl of candies.
That's still a gift.
But But you're going to.
But what about the bowl? The bowl's still together. I mean, if you're also eating from the bowl, then maybe it's a klisuda. If I intend to give it to you to then feed me from it, maybe that counts as a klisuda. That's an interesting part. That's an interesting part. If I intend to give it to you, but I'm going to eat from it, maybe that counts. Okay, sorry. Yes, Jeremy. Okay.
Yeah, you're
okay. All right. Let's try to move a little. There are two shitas. One of them is just not in the Bari line, so I'll have to reassemble this. I'll have to tell you about that. They're two. They say the same thing, but for two different reasons. And Rav Shlomo's on it. And Rav Shlomo say it's mutter.
Awesome, maybe this is good pose.
Say it's mutter for two different but similar smarts. One of the say, using someone's kelim are totaled as mutter for two similar svaras, but slightly different. They're both are mechalik. We know if you borrow, we know borrowing is chayiv. That's before Shulchan Aruch. In Sif Ches, if a Jew buys a thing from God and you borrow it from him, you're chayiv. Yeah, in a private house at least, the Jew bought for food, you borrowed for food, you're chayiv. They make a chiluk. There's a difference between borrowing a kli and eating in someone's house. / restaurant. When you eat in someone's house, you're not really borrowing the kli. That's their big chak. What's their chak? The yisod is eating in someone's house is not considered borrowing the kelim. Who cares? You're still using the kelim. So the assumption is you're only high if you borrow the kli, not if you use the kli. Only shoel mechaveiro is chayiv. Not if you use it without sheila. Why? Here they have two different svaras. The should base abe have zirks, but I move it on here. Says because only an owner is chayiv. But remember from morning seder, right? Skiros mimkur liyomehu. A borrower is like an owner. Only an owner is chayiv. A borrower is like an owner. But if you're not a borrower, you're just using it, then you're a putter. So you're a putter. The Rav Shlomo Zalman is a slightly different svara. If you look in 23, it says, he's talking about Tehman alone, but the same would apply to your private house. He doesn't like this police chorus svara. Rav Shlomo Zalman, he likes straight svaras. He thinks this svara is too crooked. He doesn't like it. Ulam yishlohakabal say, but I have a different kula. Lefima shekasavti the iser shtam shein el darbanan. It's only us who use a tefillah that told me you're a bonnet. Well, I got Amrlan, I'll the shaman to clear the tefillah says, don't use it, instead, total it. The MK calls that she, you glad below. When were they gozer not to use it? When you could total it. Even if it's Shabbos, you could total it tonight. Even if it was no mikvah around, you could total it if you went to a mikvah. Only when the etzem, you have the ability to total, you can't use it without totaling. Right? Again, reminiscent of Mordechai, right? Mordechai says, if you can't put on tzitzis, you wear four quarter garment without tzitzis. Okay, whether or not we're possible like him, right? Maybe that's Muhammad still, right? So here is what someone says, Avobamol Kadom Shlo, you know the Kaslat Bilo, came to Rosalech Lishto Sharile, the guy after the word the Oneng. Okay, so it says maybe an Oneng can use this clue that's totally extra. Potter, he says this case. It says very passionate. If I borrow a clue, I could bring it to the mikvah. If I'm eating in a hotel, I can't take the kelim out of the hotel to the mikvah. That's theft. If I'm eating in your house, again, if I borrow your house, rent your house, maybe I can take the kelim to a mikvah, maybe not. Am I allowed to remove things from premises? But I'm a guest. If I go to my non-from cousin's house, I'm a guest in their house, I'm not allowed to take their kelim to the mikvah. And therefore, since I don't even have the ability to tovel it, I'm potter from tefillah, and I'm allowed to eat it without toveling. Again, it's coming to the same place, that I'm not a shoal. Just the base of me says, if you're not a shoal, you're potter be'etzem. Because you're never mishayev, or someone else says, if you're not a shul, you're an honest. You don't have the ability to. If you don't have the ability to, the zero of not using is not chal on you. That is Rosh Hashanah's chal. Halacha l'maisa, it's a big machlokes of modern day poskim. Do we rely on this Rosh Hashanah? Do we not rely on this Rosh Hashanah? Nirlami is daiti that b'shas adchak. We rely on Rosh Hashanah. This is often shas adchak, right? You have relatives, etc. It becomes very subtle. It becomes very tricky. You know, you don't want to get into a fight, etc. So halacha l'maisa, we can rely on this Rosh Hashanah Zalman, b'shas adchak, even though it's
not the majority opinion among the modern or pre-modern poskim. We can rely on this for Shas Chaktis for Shlomo Zalman, and therefore, if you have relatives, again, let's say you're eating kosher food, right? I mean, they serve you Cheerios and milk, but you need a spoon to eat it with. Then, if you go to your non-firm relatives, you can eat from their kalim and rely on Rav Shlomo Zalman.
What? What is your own house?
Your house?
That's your parents' house.
That's not your own house. What are you doing?
I mean, you do have the opportunity to go to them yourself more than you get.
So it depends. If it's your parents' house and they'd be happy for you to tovel it, they don't want to be a triach themselves. But it's fine if you want to tovel it, then Rav Shlomo Zalman would not be meiko. But if it's your parents' house and they don't want you to tovel their kalim, I'm against these people who tell the Shana Aleph guys to go home and sneak out in the middle of the night and tovel your parents' kalim. Then you should rely on Rav Shlomo Zalman. If your parents say, sure, whatever makes you happy, you know, if you want to be a tree of yourself, fine, then Rav Shlomo Zalman would be machmir. Then there's no room to be meiko. But if it's a case where your parents say, you know, what are you, crazy? You know, I have enough of this craziness. You're not bringing your kalim to the mikvah. Or they say, what, you're going to bring all this expensive crystal? It's going to break? No way. Then Rav Shlomo Zalman would be meiko.
Because it's difficult to be very similar. If you're not having to feel he was kind of meeting on it.
No, I'm not convinced, because it's not his avera if you eat on it without tefillah. What if he cooks in it, etc.? Okay, I mean, you have to have a broad perspective and figure out what's going to be such circumstances. Yes. But we have to finish the Makorah sheet. It's getting late, so ask a question.
According to the Shulchan, isn't this being like, he's talking about even
no. I don't think it's Moxie to be over here because they're just not totally, they're not actually doing it very well. So I don't think so. Okay.
Same question.
Yeah.
In this case, are you using the bracha on that dish you bring someone's house as a gift? So isn't that a bracha to be always without caring?
Why is this all without care?
They might decide not to even use it. You're assuming that they're going to accept the gift.
They might decide not to use it as a police suitor. What if they decide, no, they don't want this at all? It's the worst thing in the world. They hate it. They would never eat on it if their life depended on it. And then for them, all they're going to do is re-gift it, or it's so hideous they're going to throw it in the garbage as soon as you turn your back. So then that 8-7 will not work so well, because even though Taka is all alone with one, they don't mind owning it, but they don't want to use it as a kusuma. So maybe it's a bracha lafala.
Maybe the solution would be to have in mind to put it the next person to get it to, even if they don't need to
also.
Even that's still solid without a parent.
Yeah. Well, that's a good hara, no? It's a good hara he's making. I don't know. Maybe she'll tell it with the other thing. Okay, it's a good hour. Maybe it's not so pushed. Because even if they own it already, maybe they don't want it for a police suit. Maybe they intend to not use it as a police suit. I don't care. I don't know. Maybe if you don't know them well enough, I think they might use it. And if not, okay, fine. Accepted. Okay, the last thing I want to discuss is how about containers that food comes in? Right? A lot of food comes in glass or metal containers. Do you have to total those containers? And here, we have basically, you know, I'm not talking about the brewers who are about to everything. Basically, everyone says you don't have to total the bottles and cans that you buy your food in. Because machlokas, why? Everyone assumes it's mutter because everyone always did it. Even the tzaddikim. Right? The question is just why. So, let's look at a few of the heterim. Let's look at a few of the heterim. Number one, Chalkas Yaakov, Bedavar Irumi Rabbecha Bamerikal Shoshatu Social Shimura, that means cans, believes V. Lover, also Harshis Olam. Notice he's prejudiced against this guy. Guy wants to make a steak. No, Yafakasa Filterosa Roma, Kimcha Olamin is harm, it's not your son, let's smoke. Says, what do you mean? Everyone does it. It's not meant to mutter. Look at what's it mutter? Pacific Adolin, Garden Dumbers there. Otis Hatzlokas, May Soda, that's Seltzer, Shari Mashkos, Vikoris, Shri Priya Sadi, quotes from Priya Sada, I'm not sure that is, Shkos was that. Elo Kodom Shechar may have Pabrikan Shel Hagoyin. Ain Daitam Liknos Hatzlokas, very passionate. You have in mind, when I go to the supermarket and I buy beer in a glass bottle. I was lying not to be Kona the bottle, only the beer. And therefore, so it wasn't Kona the bottle, it still belongs to a guy. It's no problem. Again, this only works if you shop in a Goyish supermarket. If I go to Rami Levy, which is owned by Jews, even if I lie not to be Kona the bottle, Rami Levy had a mind to be Kona the bottle from the Goyish company in China manufacturer, so it's not going to help. But assuming I live in America and I buy from a Goyish store, right? If I buy from, you know, in a stop, most places I buy, you know, if I buy from a supermarket, it's owned by a Goy or such a Jew and Goy, then that's a good eitza. Okay, it's not going to help if I buy from a local kosher grocery. If I buy from a local kosher grocery, what if he had in mind to be Kona the bottles? But maybe there's one eitza here. He says, yeah, I got the et cetera, et cetera. He says it's similar to the Tazan or Chaim who says he's in his face of Surah Lo Nichol in the Mikneh. Maybe there's an umdin and no one wants to be Kodos and they'll be Usr. Maybe even Rabbi Levi, I don't know. Okay. And then he says also, Ain of the Rashi, Lahachmer, Dorsha, Masina, Shafil, Zig, Gedolim, Makpidim. Okay. Ramaisa, what's the Heterim? Heterim for containers. One Heter is this is the Priyasada, this is the Chalkas Yaakov, the Shri Deish, many people. Give this heter. We'll just call it Chalkas Yaakov. Have in mind, niskaving shelo liknos hakli. Okay, that's one possibility. And he says that's not so crazy because you don't really want the container. You just want the food. Second paragraph of 24. Lahavir kalsu reishgrav parades for abundant mizbach. That parades was the Torah Journal of America in the old days. History. Rav Echa made mission to Kaelin, Chosol, Shum, Nusum, Sochum, Nusum, Dobu, Tame, Mani, Gokhal, Shbandu, Tahar, a utensil, a container that you can reuse many times in Makabal Toma, but if you throw it out after you use it, it gets ripped, then it's not Makabal Toma. Meaning, a disposable Kli is not a Kli. We already discussed this with the aluminum pans, Marta Nurisham, etc. What do you say? It's disposable. If it's disposable, then it's not a Kli. The same header as the aluminum pants. Right? Meaning whoever's making all these aluminum pans is clearly making her on a can of Coke because it is disposable. Right? So the second end of the Chalkas Yaakov is that it's disposable. Here it gets a little tricky because you're just like, what about the wine bottle? You could really use it a gazillion times. It's very, very strong. So, maybe, I don't know if this would apply to a bottle, because just you decide to throw it out where most regular aluminum pans doesn't make it disposable. Because I'm not right. A Coke can, you can't really use many times. Right?
What if you're encouraged to recycle?
For recycling, it's bouncing down. You can use, no, but still, you could. So nearly that, this would not work. Not a heter for most bottles, because most bottles you could use a gazillion times. They're really, really strong. Since they have them more for cans than for bottles. Okay, next heter. Let's go to Meaning you empty it out a little at a time because you're using the garbage clean. Zemashav Shliakim Kiyam, Onema, etc. What is it in the fourth line? Masokwa, Matsia, Heter, Murvak, and again, so Shmur, Pia Chazanish. You know the famous Chazanish's Chomer on Shabbos? What's the famous Chazanish's Chomer? Why you can't open a soda can on Shabbos?
Creating a clean.
Because when you open it, you're creating the clean. It wasn't a clean until it was open. Ah, so he says, no problem. The Jew opens the can. The Jew made the clean. Not a garbage clean. It's a Jewish clean. The Jew just bought raw material from a guy and made a clean out of it. Right? So, that's the heter, since Eliezer al-Pi Chazanish. Now, it's not clear to me that we hold like this Chazanish of the Shabbos. But, al-Pi Chazanish, he says, again, this is only for cans. Right? Only a heter for cans. But, he says, al-Pi Chazanish, the Jew who opened the can made the kli. Okay, it's not intuitive, but that's a sheet of the Chazanish. Then he continues a little more.
Yeah.
Yes, you'd have to be consistent. Yes, you'd have to be consistent. So I'm not going to bank on this. I'm not going to bank on this. But if you go a little further, he says in the last paragraph, he says, Oscar, and that the truth is not necessarily. He says even if you don't hold a kaddish on Shabbos, you could say it's only called the. No, oh sorry, you do. Then the second paragraph says maybe it's not called the kisud if it's disposable. So he also mentions this. Many public since Abiezer also says this. He says it's not called the kisud if you can't use it again and again. And then the last paragraph 26, the Oscar or basal Oscar gospel shut my real disc and she does al vikunically and mashke and sort of lishbocha mashke will at bila de shave al tasa hagi will nick rashimash. If you buy a kli with mash, like you buy a bottle of Snapple, you don't have to empty it out of toilet. Because emptying it once is not called a shimush. Shimush means to fill it again, to use it. Just emptying is not called a shimush. Rosh Lozano says something similar. He says, let's say you want to total your Snapple bottle, but it's full of iced tea. What would you have to do first? Pour out the iced tea. So if you have to pour out the iced tea, you might as well pour it into your mouth. That's not called shimush. It's called shimush to like put food in it and use it. But if it already has food, taking food out is not bullshit. I know this is going further than Moshe. Moshe says only if it's something on a dry plate. But maybe you could say this, that, here's the Myrtle Diskin. And it's not on the sheet, but they say this is Zalman in the Sri Dadesh. Ode. He says, no. Emptying the food inside it is not called shimush. If it already has food, taking food out is not called shimush. I know Moshe didn't say that in the other half of the word. But maybe you can say using it once is not called shimush, and that's the heter. Okay, one last heter. This is a much bigger chiddush from Moshe. But Moshe goes much further. Why? Because what if you want to reuse it? None of these heter would work if you want to reuse it. Your miskaven has to be kona. Remember, that's only temporary. You can't permanently, the Taz says. To say that, okay, maybe this one, but that's a little weird. Say disposable, it's not disposable. Say that you're just emptying what's not called shimush, not going to help. Meaning, had I reuse it? You know how sometimes people reuse things? You put sugar in the coffee? So, according to this heter, no. According to this heter, no. According to this, only Lafida Chazan Ish, and the problem is Hilfa Shabbos better going on Macher. According to this, no, we don't yet have a heter for reusing it. There's sea plate people, like, they buy a wine bottle. I mean, if you buy a kosher wine, the bottle's made in China, and then they keep watering it. Or, sometimes in the kitchenette here, they put the sugar, they buy the sugar in the paper thing, right? They put the sugar in the coffee jar. What? No, the sugar in the coffee jar you bring to the table. You eat from it. You put it straight in your coffee and drink. It's not like you put it in your, you bring it to the table. Obviously, to a casual table. And the water, the wine bottle, you bring to the table. So, is there anyone who's not or even reusing it? Yes, Rav Moshe has a tremendous Kiddush 25. Even if you want to reuse it, you don't need to total it. It's a poor gummer. Says Rav Moshe, you can even reuse it. That's his case. He's like, I don't have to tell you that it's mutter to drink the whiskey. That's posh. You can even reuse it. Why? The kli was bought out to the food or drink. Etc. And he says, he remembers when he was a kid in Russia, they would all reuse the whiskey bottles, probably vodka bottles, and no one ever thought of totaling them. When he was a kid in Russia, there were a lot of people very from. And no one, and everyone reused the vodka bottles without totaling them, and it's totally mutter. He says that, he says basically, he brings another Ryan Phil Shabbos, what do you find my Meister Shaney? You're only allowed to spend Meister Shaney money on food. On food. What if I buy with my Shoshani money a barrel of wine and it includes the barrel? Is that mutter or usher? So it's mutter and the barrel is cooling. What if I buy an animal to shecht and then I get the hide? Mutter and the hide is cooling. Why? Because I just bought the wine. The barrel was buckled to the wine. and the hide was bottled to the animal. Just like by Meister Shaney, it's not that I didn't buy, it's not Meister Shaney barrel. It was bottled wine. It had no status whatsoever. It's basically as if I just bought wine, and then all of a sudden a barrel appeared. It says almost the same thing here. I didn't buy a cleat for a guy. I bought food for a guy. There was no cleat. Now that I emptied the food, tack, all of a sudden there's a cleat. But I didn't buy the cleat from a guy. I bought food from a guy. And then I got a cleat out of it. Since I didn't buy the cleat from a guy, it was food that I bought from a guy. There's no cleat. The cleat was only acquired a cleat from a guy. Not when you acquire food from a guy, and somehow that turns into a cleat later. That's a big fetish, says Rav Moshe, that the kli is batel to the ohel, and therefore there's no kli when I bought it from a guy. Because I bought food from a guy. I didn't buy any kli from a guy. The fact that I end up with a kli 2 weeks later is not a chai of me. Basically, this is a kli that just appeared in the hands of a Jew that he didn't buy from a guy. Okay? So he bought food from a guy and turned it into a kli. That's Potter. Big kiddush of Rav Moshe. Halacha l'maisa. I personally am not so convinced. This Rav Moshe is a tremendous kiddush. I personally am not here. That I would not reuse it without totaling it. This Rav Moshe is a big kiddush, and it's not Siachid. No one else. Everyone tried to find a heter. No one found Rav Moshe's heter. So it's a bit of not Siachid. But certainly in America, many people are somewhat on Rav Moshe, so you have the right to be somewhat on this Rav Moshe, because many people are somewhat on it. Even though, you know, if you ask me, I would recommend being machmir and totaling without a bracha. Maybe Rav Moshe is right. Don't total with a bracha. But many people rely on this Rav Moshe, and if you want to, you have the right to rely on this. You have the right to rely on this on this Rav Moshe. Okay.
Even without this Rav Moshe, you rely. You can still use somebody else's bottle, bottle wine bottle, and then going if you were there.
Because of the tzimra of Rav Moshe with those who are making on someone else's house,
yeah,
I would be making on that.
Nice. Two questions. First, would this imply that if you buy it, you say, oh, this is a really cool bottle, I'll have to keep this bottle afterwards, then you would need to total it?
So that's a question of where to draw the line from this Rav Moshe. You know, what if they're selling a special collector's bottle or something?
Right.
So I'm not sure where to draw the line. Nirlin is dainty, even if you had in mind you wanted the bottle. But if no one's machshav the bottle, just you have a shtus, but everyone knows that that bottle is only the way to sell the wine, then I think he'd still be makel. But maybe it was a special collector's bottle, you know, that he'd be machshav. That's where I draw the line. If it's a regular bottle, you happen to want a bottle for some reason, but that's not why they're selling it, then I'd be makel. But if it's a collector's bottle, I'd be machshav. I guess it comes from not. I also heard that not holding many of these coolers. Agav, in that Sicilian, he calls viral discan, being mafter something doesn't help. You can't say I'm mafter and now I'm part of the team. I know, Rashef Topaske, Corona, Shasakha, for whatever reason, you know, he is willing to be makel on mafter, and most people didn't even agree with that. Halacha l'maisa, you know, certainly in normal circumstances, you know, someone says, otherwise people get this machana and call Hashem, and so, okay, so be makel. But in normal circumstances, we've seen even if you're mafker, that's not a heter. That's still considered, if you're mafker, but still keep it for yourself, that's still considered yours.
There's a restaurant in the city, or I forget what it was, if it's like with your dessert, with like buying a certain drink, that they give you like the glass like, container that it comes in. With that, would you need to total that, assuming they didn't total it? Would that be need batel to... Like,
but in a glass container that's a collector's item or something?
No,
or just that's a regular...
Just regular.
They sell you a Coke and you can take
shit.
A glass home.
Yeah, it's like a mason jar.
Ah, but it's a mason jar. It's not like... I mean, it's something which is not intended to be just a container.
Yeah.
Ah, so in that case, then I think Ramosha would not apply. Then the Chalkas Yaakov would not apply. Then the other Chalkas Yaakov would not apply. Clearly to a jar, this is how it wouldn't apply. Then it's really not so pashut, meaning if you really want this jar, because you want to use this jar, then maybe get this heter, that just drinking what's inside, you know, is not considered shimush, but I don't know, I'd be machmir in that case. What would I do? I'd ask him for a glass, and pour it into the glass, and drink from the glass. No, I think he buys the can and then he pours it into a glass and drinks from the glass.
I was on that model.
Yeah, the truth is, I don't know. This is all what I heard firsthand. I don't know. I don't know what Schefter does. You could.
I've seen people do it and say.
By cans or by Snapple pies? By cans. Okay. So, yeah, look. So, what do you do? What it means is you just have to empty it immediately into another plea. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to drink the Coke. It just means you have to empty it immediately into another plea. Maybe even say that's not cold as sheep, which just let it sit there in the fridge.
Why should it matter if it's like an Israeli wine company that are the bottles by some China?
No, I'm saying, so it's a problem. Israelis border from China, so it needs to be.
So,
all I'm saying is even if this counter wouldn't work for an Israeli company, so even though I had in mind not to buy it, but they had in mind to buy it, so it belongs to a Jew, right? This is not a heter if I bought from a Jewish company who bought the container from China, right? If I buy from Rami Levy, it doesn't help having mine not to be called in the bottle because they bought it from China and they had a mind to be called in the bottle and they're Jewish.
They bought it as a case of the wine bottle. They bought a Kliskora, maybe.
They bought a Kliskora, but now I'm... That's interesting, guys. They bought a Kliskora, now I'm temporarily using it. That's interesting. Maybe they bought it as a Kliskora, right? Now I'm temporarily using it. I take it back. You're right. We could use the Kliskora heter, right? They bought us Kliskora. And now I'm temporarily using it for Suda. Although it's funny because they're not going to use this Skora anymore. So maybe it's Mafkia. Certainly. Because usually you say they bought us Kliskora. If I'm borrowing it for Suda, they're still going to use it for Skora. Here they bought it for Skora and they don't want to use it for Skora anymore. So I borrowed for Suda. Maybe now it's only Kliskora. Well,
it's not sure.
Okay, Certainly. Certainly.
What did you try to?
What do I do practically, Rami Levy? No. What do I do practically? I have all these studim. I say one of these studim must be true. Even if one of them doesn't apply, there's enough studim that one of them must be true. And I don't worry about it.
I'm just curious, why does
knowing
something
bullshit
inspire?
Who says no one accepts it? I said a lot of people accept it. You mean why do the other posts cannot accept it? Because it's a chid. Why? Because it's a big chidish. It's true by Meister Sheng. I mean, Meister Sheng is the best Raya. But Meister Sheng is not the same as Tfilas Kehim. Basically, I would say for one of two reasons. Either A, because maybe it's a special letter only by Meister Sheng. And B, he also means to write in the Yom HaShabbos, you can tier packages, but those are ones. A, maybe it's a special letter by Sheng. B, maybe since it used to be a Goy, now it's a Jew, maybe that's special. Even if it was acquired in an indirect way. The Jew still acquired it from a guy, just in an indirect way. The guy made a bottle. The Jew now has a bottle. He got it from the guy through Bittel. But he still got it from the guy. All right, certainly. Anyway, it's very late. I don't want to, you can ask me a question if you want, but I feel bad that everyone's been sitting here for 15 minutes listening to the questions. So we'll have to pick up here soon. Next time with Simon Kof, Kof Alice. Feel free to ask questions.